Good morning, and welcome to another exciting broadcast day.
Hey, Danny, your wife filed for divorce.
Is that on the news again still?
Yeah.
Not joking that?
Well, good morning, everyone. I'm Jimmy Kimmel, and for Adam Carolla, Danny Bonaducci, and Teresa Strasser are here. And Adam is in New York City right now at the premiere tonight of his feature film, The Hammer.
Yes.
Have you guys seen the movie?
I have.
No, I have not.
You seen it? Uh-huh. Danny, I'm surprised you haven't seen it. It's very good.
I'm surprised Adam hasn't asked me.
Yeah, I'm surprised he hasn't too, but I don't want to make you feel bad. I had to chase him for almost an entire year to get him to show me the movie. I don't know what the deal is, but he was not forthcoming with it, but it is premiering and there's nothing he can do about it. People are going to go see it, and he got a very nice review in the Village Voice.
Yeah. I read it on the air yesterday when I saw it, because I knew he wouldn't.
I was going to read it also.
Well, it didn't happen at 6 o'clock in the morning.
It was at the 8 o'clock hour.
It's pretty short, actually. It says, a surprisingly charming Adam Carolla. I think people are surprised by Adam's charm.
I was surprised when I saw the movie. He's very likable and a good actor.
I'm surprised by Adam the guy. Since I haven't seen the movie, I'm constantly surprised by Adam the guy.
Yeah, he is surprisingly charming.
That's what I said. I said I'm constantly surprised by Adam the guy.
Yeah, surprisingly charming Adam Carolla anchors this likable comedy from the director and producer slash star of Kissing Jessica Stein, Charles Herman Wormfeld, and Heather Jurgensen. Carolla plays Jerry Farrell, an out-of-work carpenter who rediscovers his talents as a boxer. The schlubby former host of The Man Show. I think they're confusing him with me.
That's what he said. I didn't want to say anything, Jimmy, but he said that he thought that they might have confused him with you.
I think he's right. Maintains a breezy on-screen persona that belies the hard work it surely took to become such a convincing pugilist. Check out those skills in the jump rope. What they don't realize is that he already could do that.
Right.
I know. But the jump rope scenes were pretty cool.
Yeah, he can jump rope. He jumps rope like an 8-year-old black girl in the Bronx. He's really very talented with that. The ending is predictable, which I don't agree with, by the way. I didn't think the ending was predictable at all.
No.
Well, all endings are predictable in the sense that you know it's going to happen.
Yeah, you know the movie's going to be over and you're going to leave eventually.
And are going to come up.
Was predictable. Read the last line. I thought that was the best part.
But you can't beat that ironic Eye of the Tiger montage for pure comic gold.
Yeah. And by the way, he mentioned yesterday that in a review of The Man Show, Carolla was called a braying sports aficionado, and he thought that insult was meant for you.
That happens a lot, and usually it happens.
Why does he think everything bad's meant for Jimmy? Why does he just go,
"Hey, aficionado"? Yeah, he's got a couple of things have happened like that. One thing that angered me is we did this thing for some golf. You know, they start up these golf magazines every once in a while. It was Maximum Golf. Maxim had a golf magazine, and they said, we want you guys to go out golfing all day. And we're both terrible golfers, but Adam is a little worse than I am.
Right.
And that day in particular, I was at my best. I was, you know, I mean, I'll be lucky if I shoot 150, but I was at my best, and I hit pretty well. The writer mixed us up through the whole article and talked about Adam's long drives. Like, wait a minute, Adam doesn't hit long drives.
You know,
He takes long drives.
That's the thing, though, because Adam speaks of you like a member of the family, almost. He doesn't explain who you are when he says, so Jimmy's over and I'm at Jimmy's and blah, blah, blah. I mean, I can see how that would get confusing for people who don't know.
But we played golf with this guy for 4.5 hours.
What offended me was when they talked about your unibrow.
Yeah.
That's not fair.
See, golf, in were you in the sun?
Yeah,
we're in the reporter Vegas. Drinking by any chance?
We're all drinking, okay. Yeah.
I do not golf at all, but and I don't know anything about sports, so this is the perfect story for me, because I don't know either of these things. I let Jim McMahon of the Chicago Bears drive a golf ball out of my mouth with a tee in my mouth.
Wow.
Because that's what you get when you play golf in the sun. Anything goes. So the fact that he confused you with another actual human being instead of a bovine or something.
If I had to pick one athlete to drive a ball out of my mouth, he would be in the bottom 10. I wouldn't say he would be.
I thought he was like a legend.
He's a legend, but he's crazy. I mean, he's not the guy you necessarily want to put your face in his hands.
Yes, I don't want a neck massage from Latrell Sprewell like that.
Well, that's how it happened. It became a contest of the crazies. That's what happened.
I see.
We're both out on this golf course. And
what did you do to him?
Almost everything.
What do you mean almost everything?
Well, it really became because it was my first Danny Bonaducci show at the Loop in Chicago. It was like, I'd never really been in radio. I was the wackiest of third wheel sidekicks on a thing called John Lander and the Nut Hut. I was one of the nuts.
Nice. In the hut?
Yeah. I don't even know if I was allowed in the hut. They might have kept me outside, though. I don't remember. And there was a guy... You know how we have a soundtrack, like you tell a dumb joke, Brian plays the ba-dum-bump thing?
Yeah.
We had a real human being with a drum and a snare.
It just sat in the corner?
It was horrifying. He's now the number one morning show guy in Washington, D.C., the drummer, by the way.
The drummer?
Elliot Siegel.
Really?
Yeah.
Was he in the hut? Was he technically?
Yeah. And it was a quarter size of our hut.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, when I got to Chicago, that's a longer story than I thought, I'm sorry. I'm driving, I've like changed my whole life, I've cleaned up my act, which of course falls dismally apart once I get to Chicago.
Right.
But I'm doing real well, I've got a job for the first time in my life. My wife and I are getting along great, we've only known each other a month and we've been married a month and a day. And we start getting near Chicago and we start hearing the promos for my new show. And they say, he's coming. He's dangerous. He's crazy, Chicago. He's Danny Bonaducci. And I'm going, I don't really do anything anymore. I can't really live up to this. And when I got there, I tried to live up to it and did. And then when we got out to the golf course, I kind of got in a physical altercation with McMahon because somebody said I couldn't.
See, you actually changed your entire personality and really went off the wagon because of these promos on the air?
No, I changed my personality and went on the wagon because something else was going to happen to me.
If you're ever in a bad way here, maybe we should run promo and say, he's very reasonable.
The sober.
He goes to sleep on time. He wakes up early and goes to the gym. By the way, how long have you been up?
What time is it now? 3 hours and 10 minutes.
And you're wearing
almost spandex. Yeah, I know.
Spandex, like it is. It's disturbing to someone who. I mean, this morning I wanted to kill myself when that alarm went off, and you look like you like Jack LaLanne.
I'm actually in my Superman pose now that I realize that.
Yeah, you're in your Superman pose.
I dress to entertain myself. This is an accident. As a matter of fact, I think
it's not about the clothing.
If you remove the Everlast, I think Teresa can actually tell you how I'm dressed today, which particular outfit this is. Do you know which one this is?
I think this is Angry Teenage Pirate.
That's it.
Angry Teenage Pirate?
Uh-huh.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Really?
And what are the other personas? What else? Like, what are the other personas that you take on before you come to work?
There's middle-aged goth guy.
Middle-aged goth guy?
Goth guy.
Okay.
And then every now and again, because you don't want to be, if you claim that you dress to amuse yourself, that you don't wear a uniform of any kind, every now and again you really have to break the mold, so I've come to work.
Sometimes you do
in a suit and tie.
And sometimes you
do the whole show in a suit and tie.
Wow. Where have all the angry cowboys gone?
Oh yeah, do the cowboy.
We've got a Western thing.
What about playful rapist?
Is there any other kind, Jimmy?
Really?
I mention that because I have a friend who on Easter Sunday, we're at my cousin's house, and he was explaining to a whole group of people, including parents and senior citizens, that he and his girlfriend like to engage in playful rape.
Right.
Where he will playfully rape her. They will go through this whole scenario and playfully rape not one another, but I think he just playfully rapes her.
And Gretchen and I used to play that game, and like 5 years into it, I found out she wasn't playing. She just didn't want to do it.
Her safe word was no.
Yeah, but like, you might want to tip me that we're not playing some cool game.
Yeah.
You know, give me the 411 that you really don't feel like doing it.
Didn't her tears tip you off, or you thought that was just part of the deal?
No, see, you don't understand the Gretchen happy rapist game. It's yawning. That tipped me off.
Oh, really?
And once, and you'll think I'm kidding, because we were, if you saw Breaking Bonaduce, you'll know we were in therapy a lot because of, I have a very serious, if not overwhelming, sexual desire. I guess I got it from her because she has none left.
Right.
So I said to her one time, baby, I don't care if you read during it. It's just got to get done. So
romantic. Can you knit that on a pillow?
But the problem was, one time I thought it was really funny because every now and again she'd be a good sport, which was not often. She had a book under the pillow, so we start pulls out the book.
Really, and that doesn't ruin it for you.
He doesn't care.
She could die in the middle, and I'd go. She's still warm. I'm going to wait until it's over to admit to myself that she passed away.
Really? Because that would, any sense for me of any sense that that the woman or whatever is not into it, it's a deal breaker for me, and it will almost end immediately.
Even in the middle, if you sense her mind's wandering.
I mean, I'll finish the job, but I look for the... I mean, I'm like a detective. I have to make sure that at least there's some pretending that she's into it. And, you know, that it ruins it if that's the case.
Here's my entire detective work, and this is new for me. This is only since 1990. My detective work is I make sure it's actually a girl.
Right.
And then after that, my detective work is done.
There you go.
My work here is done.
Well, it's funny you mention that because I think it's fun to tell the story. I've told the story many times of, actually, we each of us has a long history. Teresa and I worked on Win Ben Stein's Money together many years ago. And Danny and I met in, I don't know if you know this story, Teresa, but.
God, what year?
It was 1991, probably.
Oh, geez.
1991.
You guys
did I owe you money,
together?
Or did I hit you? Or?
No. In fact, you were quite friendly, but I'll tell you what happened. I think I told you the story, but maybe I worked at a morning show in Seattle. It was my first paid job. I'd worked in radio. I'd done a lot of things for free, but this was my first paid job. And we went up there and I was full of steam. I mean, this was everything I'd ever dreamed of. And I went there with my buddy and we did this morning show and they fired us before the year was done. And not only did I get fired, but I had to move back in with my parents in Phoenix, which was an absolute nightmare because, I mean, you know, I was an adult now. It was time that I was ready to go. I was married and everything. Yep. So my wife and I moved back to Phoenix, tail between my legs.
Yeah.
We go back and I'm working. I can't get a job. I mean, I volunteered to work at radio stations and nobody was interested. I mean, I had a tape that was at least as funny as 98% of the radio tapes. Nobody was. It's amazing the lack of just anything that goes into these morning shows. So I tried and I tried and I couldn't get a job even locally. I just wanted to do stuff on the air. I started valet parking. And a young man by the name of Danny Bonaducci used to come to this nightclub. Now, keep in mind, he's doing mornings at a radio station in Phoenix, was at this nightclub until the club closed every single night. Do you remember that club?
Yeah. I don't remember the name of it. It was just a giant room, right?
It was part male strip club. It was one night it was like a male strip club, and the rest of the nights it was regular clubs. And there was boxing in there during the daytime. It was like a boxing gym. It was right across from the Greyhound bus station. It's crazy that you have no memory of it.
When you say to me, it's one night it's a male strip club, the other day it's a boxing ring, I want to look at, because I don't know Mr. Kimmel's actual capacity with the show, but I understand it's important.
Oh, yes. It's very important.
I really don't want to say, male strip bar boxing ring. No recall. But I have no idea.
Really? You don't?
Oh.
Well, you used to come, and I thought it was odd that you'd be out so late, and you had to be at work at 5 o'clock in the morning. And you and I became somewhat friendly. I was your valet parker, and I would park your car. You were always very friendly to me, and we'd chit chat. And one day, I gave you tape, and I put it in your cassette machine, and I told you I was leaving. I said,
"Listen, I remember that. I totally remember that."
I said, "Listen to this tape, you know, whatever." And you're like, "Okay," and you drove off. And then the next day, you came back, and you're like, "Hey, that tape was really great." And I was like, "Oh, well, thank you." It's like, I mean, I was really surprised. It was fantastic. I was like, "Well, you know, that's really nice of you to say." He's like, you said, "I'm definitely gonna steal some of those bits." And then you drove off.
With all your hopes and dreams in the car with him.
It's amazing that I remember the valet parker giving me a cassette tape, which has been done to me 20,000 times.
That was me. That was
but
one of them was
I
me.
Don't remember a club that switched from naked men to
boxing. It was probably not male stripping when you were there, because they had this thing like until like 11 o'clock every Monday night. It was a male strip club and it was great. And I'll tell you why.
Oh, and it would become something else later?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I know. Because this is where I thought it was.
I would get when the women came out of the place, I would get raped.
Yeah.
I mean, not even molested, but literally, I mean, it was ridiculous. They'd come out and suddenly men are just pieces of meat.
Right.
I mean, imagine if you're at a regular strip club with women and then you come out and the valet parkers are all hot, like, well, not that I was hot anything, but I was there and I was a male and I would get just groped. I mean, it was crazy. If I was a woman, I'd have people, you know, dozens of people arrested every night.
No, I was really confused as to why I wouldn't remember such a major event. I don't have that particular issue, and you could imagine that I might, but I don't. But now that you put it that way, you would wait till it became the regular club, and the chicks would just be insane.
Right? They
insane.
Well, they were worked up into a frenzy.
Yeah.
Or male strippers.
Into a sexual frenzy. Male strippers are kind of like a gag, aren't they?
I mean, you know what? Everybody says that. And it's an interesting thing because I think, like, there's two categories of women. And, like, Teresa would look at the male strippers and go, like, oh, boy, that's cheesy and this and that. But then there's, I mean, listen, these are naked guys who are muscular dancing around and putting, you know, whatever in their faces. On some level, that's got to be sexually exciting to some people. And these women would come out crazy. I mean, just crazy. I mean, it was really, I recommend it. If you ever get to, because it seems kind of gay. It's like, oh, I don't want to be working outside a male strip club.
But they didn't even let men in.
No, men were not allowed in.
Men weren't in. So that's, again, why I didn't remember this. You weren't allowed in while it was the male strip club. Then when the strippers left and it became a club, the men were allowed in. And I'd go flying in. And sometimes I could spend as little as 5 minutes there. Just go in and go, okay, you.
And you were married at the time.
Oops. Not necessarily.
Who's married to his work.
Job.
No, not necessarily.
I
never went out alone. Once I was married, she realized who she was married to. I never went out alone for the next 7 years.
And do you remember if Danny was a good tipper when you parked his car?
I think he was. I think he was. Absolutely. Well, we have a jam-packed show here tonight. I don't want to get too late. Super Dave Osborne's going to be on this hour. You know Super Dave?
Just saw him night before last.
Oh, that's right. He was at your gig in Palm Springs there, right?
Was that night before last?
At the Morongo?
Yeah.
Yeah, Def Frat Guy is going to be here. George Lopez will be phoning in.
Very nice.
Greg Fitzsimmons in the studio. Billy West in the studio. Terry Hatcher.
Is this our show?
Yeah, and Joe Pesci,
who I've become friendly with.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, he's a great guy. He's a character.
Now go home and get your f***ing shine box.
Yeah, he's going to get his shine box.
Is he spooky at all, or is he just a regular guy?
I don't know. I haven't seen the spooky side yet, but he's a lot of fun.
It's like Christopher Walken, you think, is spooky, but offstage, he's spooky.
No, I wouldn't put Pesci in that category.
No?
No, he's a character. That's, I think, the best possible word to describe him. So we got a big show. I think Adam might even call us this morning, right?
I think he's scheduled to call us.
How weird will it be for Adam Carolla to call in and be like the fourth biggest name on his show?
Adam's on the phone.
Yeah, what a treat for the listeners. Schlubby Adam Carolla calling in this morning.
We got Joe Pesci, but we got to put him on hold.
Surprisingly charming, I prefer to think of it.
It is the Adam Carolla show. Danny and Teresa are here. I'm Jimmy Kimmel filling in. We'll take a break, and we'll let the festivities begin when we return.
And now, Alcoa presents Definitely Not a Jew on the Adam Carolla Show. Dateline, Austin, Texas. A 20-year-old man pled guilty to gross misdemeanor theft after he stole a statue of the Virgin Mary and painted it to look like a clown, took pictures, and posted them on MySpace. Definitely not a Jew.
Jimmy Kimmel in for Adam Carolla. Danny Bonaducci and Teresa Strasser are here. Good morning. Adam is in New York. He's got a big movie premiere. His film is called The Hammer. And don't look for it in theaters yet because it's not. It's at the Tribeca Film Festival where I guess they try to sell it, and then it goes to theaters, and then people go see it, and then Adam leaves the show, I guess. I don't know how it works.
You know, that is not how. First of all, I don't know how any film festival works. I don't know what they're for. I know the least about show business of any guy I know that actually makes his living in it. Like, people say, oh, I come out here for pilot season. I at least know what it means, but I don't know when it is.
It's in February.
Okay.
Now you know.
People have told me that 100 times. It's like, oh, it's pilot season.
Because
it's duck season.
From your perspective, what you do is first you go to like third grade and then you get a TV show, right?
Right.
But that would be late.
Oh, that would be late.
My first TV show well before kindergarten.
Really?
And Danny, were you doing commercials and such before that?
My first credit is in the Andy Griffith Show.
Ah.
Really? You played Opie?
I've been around a long time, man. No, my first credit is Opie's friend,
really?
Danny Bonaducci.
Another adorable redhead. Well, speaking of adorable, we've got, this is a very dear friend of mine, and let's put him on the telephone. And I think it's fair to call him the greatest daredevil stuntman, superstar entertainer, not just in the world today, but in American history. Super Dave Osborne is on the telephone. Good morning, Super Dave.
Hi, Jimmy.
How are you, Soup?
Hey, babe, thanks for calling me at 6:20.
Well, listen.
What time do you go on, 7?
Listen, Super, it's funny.
You know, I stayed up all night last night and waited in line to see The Hammer. And when I get in, it was the life story of Fred Williamson.
That's a different Hammer, I think, yeah. Super Dave. I like that we're calling you so early because on the rare occasions that Super Dave does call me, he will, oh, it's always before 7 o'clock in the morning. There's only two people that call me. My Aunt Chippy and Super Dave call very,
so
very
we're
early.
Together.
Super, why do you call him so early?
I don't know. Well, I want to talk to him. And that's, you know, this guy works 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
So it's always nice to get that telephone
call. 1 hour of sleep, I'd like to wake him up.
Now, I was only curious why you called him the greatest daredevil in American history. Are you under the impression there's a better, like, French guy?
Well, I think some people will consider, say Evel Knievel, right, would fall in that category, and I disagree. Because
I disagree.
Super Dave has stood the test of time more so than Mr. Knievel. And, well, he's, in fact,
let me ask you guys one question. Hello,
yes.
Danny, by the way, and hello, Teresa.
Hi.
Hey, man, how are you?
I want to ask you guys one question.
Sure.
Don't you think it would behoove someone to tell the president that while we're at war and his approval rating is at 3 and kids are dying, that maybe in 1 week he shouldn't play with the Indianapolis Colts, talk to Sanjaya at a luncheon, and do some kind of a dance at a malaria function?
That was the best.
You know what? I to be honest with you, I agree with your point, but it seems no more odd or out of place than Super Dave Osborne commenting on it.
Did you see the president dancing on Malaria Day?
I did. And you know what's interesting? In that dance,
Malaria Day,
those dancers were sending a signal. There's a theme to that, to try to get a cure for malaria.
Right.
He changed the dance with his hands. I think he told a guy to take a pitch and then steal home.
When I first saw it, I thought that perhaps the president had malaria, or he was trying to show us what the symptoms of
this,
right,
don't you whip,
of that brain fever would happen, because it is, if you've not seen it, you got to go online and check it out. It's the craziest thing I've ever seen him do.
Really? You can't believe that he actually did it.
Does it beat his dad barfing on the Japanese guy?
It's much better than that.
Not even close.
Wow.
Because his dad didn't do that on purpose. You know, at least you say, all right, people get sick and they vomit.
I'll tell you what it is. It's the last day of the fraternity party.
Wow, really?
And
it's lampshades.
And they said, go up there and do that stupid dance you do.
I have to believe that the words of Kanye West were echoing in his head, that George Bush doesn't care about black people.
George Bush doesn't care about black people.
I care about black people so much, I am now going to dance with black people.
Watch me go.
In the foolish, most foolish way possible. And he did. It was unbelievable. Super Dave, speaking of unbelievable, you and the announcer for my program, Dickie Barrett, former lead singer of the Mighty Mighty Bosstones, went. You had a special date this weekend, last weekend rather, together, didn't you?
Well, yeah, I have a place down the desert, and when I heard the Bonaduce was coming in, I said to Dickie, we've got to go see it.
And there they were.
And let me tell you something. I loved it. Jeff Ross and Florentine were fantastic, and the Bonaduce, he's one of a kind as far as I'm concerned. I want to tell you why. I like everybody else in the world, watched his show. I didn't miss it. I TiVo'd it. And there was one episode where I think Gretchen told him that he was softening a little bit. And he said, okay, I'll show you. And he got in his car and drove to a gym and boxed with some guy who must have weighed about 230.
280. He fought Lennox Lewis.
And the guy beat the living crap out of him. And not in one round. He fought like 3 or 4 rounds and punched his face red. And then Danny drove back home and Gretchen said, what happened? He said, I'm not so soft, am I? I mean, I couldn't believe it. It's so,
that's so funny that you pick that scene, because what happened, I'll tell you real quickly.
I love that you did.
What else? What else did I do that you loved?
You would say, I want to tell you something. I'm not drinking anymore. I'm not doing drugs. I'm not dancing. I'm studying geography at night. I love religion, and I'm helping children.
Right.
And she would say, if you keep that up for 6 months, you can touch my calf.
Right. it's funny.
And then you would storm off and go threaten someone's life like I've never seen.
You know what? That's
so that psychiatrist you had, the first year he was a psychiatrist, the second year he had so much plastic surgery. He looked like a waxed fruit.
I'll tell you something, great moment.
And he was sitting on his legs when you would come to see him. They would sit on their legs. I can't talk to them.
He actually said to me, he said a couple of things.
At one point, he said to him, doctor, if you say that again, I'm going to take your lung out and eat it. And he said, I don't think I can do this show anymore.
He said that a couple times. This bastard almost cost me my gig 100 times because he's a real doctor. And therefore,
no, he's not a real doctor.
Well, he's got a real degree and a real practice.
Dr. Gary.
The crazier I would get.
He's getting his face sanded off.
I went up to him one time. This was my favorite part. We're doing the show. They're two of my favorite parts.
He's like Billy Botox all that's
one of my favorite moments.
Let me ask you one other question.
Go ahead.
I love Gretchen. I love the way she looks. She's beautiful. What's with the hats?
I don't know, man.
It's like a constant Easter parade.
Well, they're fighting over custody of the hats right now. It's kind of a sore subject.
Get the hat. Make them. Because you could put those on eBay. I could tell you what. You could sell one of them to the doctor. You'd make a fortune. Because he needs to stay out of the sun now.
I had the best time with because I didn't realize what was happening.
He had Botox put in his eyes.
I said to him.
There was no slits. There was nothing. And he was talking, but he looked like a burn victim because you couldn't talk.
He said something I didn't like once. Well, 100
you know
times.
What I would love to see. I would love to see Danny on Dancing with the Stars, and I would go with him, and we would tell the producers, listen, this man is completely sane. Everything you see is an act. And then he would do the first dance, and the little English twit on the end would say, you look like a redheaded Tourette's patient, and Danny would go over the table and choke him to death.
Choke him out.
See, here's the thing. I am perfectly reasonable. If somebody said, here's what would make a great show, when the limey says, you suck, you kill him. I go, okay. Somebody
That's
say action.
Say, but they don't have to tell you that.
Sure they do. I've never lost a job by killing some guy.
Over the table.
You can't just attack people and think VH1 is going to get you insured, buddy. People were pretty aware of what was going to happen next.
So you do think about the legal ramifications before you kill.
Yes, absolutely.
Well, you're getting soft, man.
What separates he and this guy on trial now? Did you see that trial yesterday?
Which trial?
Phil Spector?
Phil Spector.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you were his attorney, wouldn't you say, Phil, if you're going to wear the white suit with the purple accents, don't wear the page boy blonde wig. Not the first day.
He needs a stylist more than he does an attorney.
He really does.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
Why did he change the fright wig to begin with?
He's got like the Dorothy Hamill cut right now.
But it's blonde.
That's white.
You know what's funny in this trial is normally if you're not guilty and the charges against you were you yelled at your wife, you're going to go, oh, come on. You know what I mean to the jury?
Yeah.
They said to him yesterday, and he backhanded the woman with a gun, replaced the revolver with a shotgun and stuck it in her mouth. And he's going, oh, come on.
Yeah, and your point is?
My point is I don't know what kind of a chance he has unless he gets Robert Blake to speak up for him.
But, I mean, first of all, if I saw that guy come into court looking like that and wasn't pleading insanity, I'd say he must be innocent or he wouldn't wear that suit.
Yeah.
You know, he must not have a care in the world.
I don't think I'd look at it
I'm
like
the opposite.
That.
I don't even want him on the street. I don't care who he is.
Yeah.
Yeah, you don't care if he even killed her. Just like she's in jail.
You've got to go to prison for some time.
Guilty by hairstyle.
Yeah, but what about the contention that they were doing sexy gunplay?
How do you do sexy gunplay in the driveway?
I know. Let's ask Danny.
Why would you do that? And why would you tell your limo driver, I think I just killed someone?
I was actually having a conversation with a very, not very young girl, a 25-year-old girl the other day. And we were talking about sex, and I said, really, I've just done it with a lot of people, but they've mostly been strangers. So I've never done, like, anything normal. I don't have any fetishes or anything like that. And she said, yeah, me either, like, knife play and stuff. I just don't get it. And I went, what?
Yeah, I gotta
what
go.
What do young people do these days? Just, you know, knife play. I don't get it.
I want you guys to put it in the show, okay?
All right. I'll leave this for Adam.
Can you talk to Bonaduce? Because I was driving along one day, and Danny was telling, I guess, I'm not even going to say the worst story because he'll say, no, it isn't. But he was telling a story about he was at home, and Gretchen kept pushing him on this guy who was a genius.
Oh, yeah.
You know that story.
I do know that story.
You know it, Jimmy?
Yes.
Oh, it's the most insane thing I've ever heard.
It's nothing. It's Tuesday. That's a nothing story.
Well, I'll tell you what.
Let me tell you something. If I'm at the dinner party and you start screaming at a guest and then you go into, who'd you go into, Tom Jones?
Tom Jones, Delilah.
Delilah, up the stairs, fall down the stairs, hit your head, cut your head open and you're bleeding. Your wife drags you down into the basement, undresses you, and maybe thinks you're going to bleed to death, goes back upstairs, serves dinner. And then you come upstairs nude, covered with blood, and sit down at your place and eat.
You're leaving one part out. I started Delilah halfway up the stairs.
Oh,
I entered that room.
See what I'm saying?
Stark naked, covered in blood, singing Delilah.
With a
yeah, it's like a scene out of a Quentin Tarantino movie or something. It's not out of a
plus. No, we can't do that.
Well, speaking of movies, we haven't mentioned... Sorry, Dave, but we haven't mentioned that you're in Ocean's 13.
Yeah.
I know.
Actually, you know what?
That was so much fun.
Super.
I can't tell you.
Let's take a quick break here. And, oh,
well,
Jeff Franco. Yeah, I'd like you to stay on.
Why don't we stay on until you have some listeners?
Yeah, we can't stay on that long.
How much time do you have?
But we would like
you to. How much time did you get last night?
Because Super Dave has the greatest story, maybe ever. And I won't say just the greatest story about Red Fox, but the greatest story ever.
Wow. Now, I would like to hear, because I always thought that was the Bible, the greatest story ever told. I didn't know Dave.
Now, this is way better than the Bible.
Right on. And
Super Dave, I would love it if you could share that with us. Super Dave Osborne is on the telephone. It's Jimmy Kimmel filling in for Adam Carolla. He's in New York. Daddy Bonaducci and Teresa Strasser are here. We'll be back with Super Dave. And Def Frat Guy has entered the building as well.
It's the Adam Carolla Show with Teresa Strasser, Danny Bonaducci, and special guest host Jimmy Kimmel. Here's what's coming up this morning with program director Jack Silver.
Dear Huey, why haven't you returned my calls? If this is about the time with you, me, and the news, those girls were clearly over 18. And besides, the statute of limitations is long since... No, what up, peeps? Jack Mann still trying to win that $10,000 for Outbook August. Today we got Billy West, Terry Hatcher, George Lopez, Greg Fitzsimmons, and Joe Pesci. Holy crap, peeps! I think Mike August may have just outbooked himself. And by outbooked, I mean abused himself repeatedly to internet porn.
Thanks, Jack. Call 866-901-ADAM. It's the Adam Carolla Show. And
yes.
Now, Jimmy Kimmel.
Thank you. Feeling the power of love here and for Adam Carolla, who's in New York. Daddy Buddy Ducci and Teresa Strasser here on the telephone. Our pal Super Dave Osborne. Super is a Cable Ace Award winner, but I don't have to remind you of that. Super is, he's got a part on Curb Your Enthusiasm. He's been on for a few years now and is in the new Ocean's 13 films. Who do you play in that, Super?
I play a federal agent. And they tested the film and it went through the roof. Not thanks to me. There are a couple of other people in it.
Yeah, I've heard that.
Yeah, and they've added Al Pacino, which didn't hurt.
They added Pacino.
Yeah.
Wow. No, that doesn't hurt.
It's really good. I mean, I hear it's really great. I haven't seen the final cut.
Oh, you haven't?
No, I'm probably not in it, but I hear it's great.
By the way, there will be nothing sadder and funnier than if you
they
are cut out of this
that.
Movie
That's
entirely.
Not very nice.
Because
that
we have been hearing
nice
about this movie.
I've invited 700 people to the
we have been hearing about this movie since Ocean's 9.
Wouldn't it be great if I were on the floor?
The cutting room floor?
All you heard was hello, and you didn't even see my face.
May God help the direction of that movie.
Don't wish this, Kimmel, because I've got some wishes, too, and I'm not going to do it.
I don't wish it.
Wish that.
I don't wish it at all. I'm just saying.
You don't want to see me cry.
That's
what I want to see.
Oh, I don't think it would be you that was crying. I think
you
it would
be crying.
Everyone else.
You and your Uncle Sal.
It's my cousin Sal,
I know
and you
who it
know
is.
It. Right? But, Super, you play.
How did Uncle Frank and Aunt Chippy have that adorable daughter?
Mickey, well, they have three adorable daughters.
Well, I haven't met the other two, but she is adorable.
Are you this close to everyone you know?
Well, Super and I are very close. We spend the holidays together.
They took the wrong baby.
My family doesn't know the names of all my family.
I think someone has a monkey at home.
My Uncle Frank and Aunt Chibi, if you don't know, my Uncle Frank is he's on the show and he's our security guard and he's confused.
Yeah, but I love him. He's
all the
great.
Time. He's a great guy. And my Aunt Chibi
is... Such a nice mouth for a woman.
Is one of the meanest people in the world.
Nice. I've never heard, Danny, you have never heard a woman's, what's her name in that movie with Jimmy Caan? It wasn't this bad.
Who's that? Who are you talking about?
Oh, the woman who went crazy. I can't think of the...
When she hobbled him.
Kathy Bates.
Yeah.
When she hobbled him and then finally broke out and swore like that.
Well, my Aunt Chippy is a little bit different in that she's mostly... I mean, she has a good heart and she's a good person, but she's mean as a hornet. And God forbid, if you do even the slightest thing that doesn't fit into her definition of... polite or appropriate, you're out of her life for the rest of... I mean,
and Uncle Frank wants her back.
Well, I don't know if he wants her back. I think he wants her, theoretically.
Maybe he wants her off the street.
Yeah, he wants her back theoretically, but I don't think that the reality would be as great. They were married for many years, and they got divorced.
I actually love her, too, but I really love Uncle F.
Yeah, Uncle Frank is a good guy, but Subaru, let's talk about
Danny,
you.
Did I tell you I thought the your show was great? But go ahead.
Yeah, I wanted,
yes, you did. Thank you.
I want to talk. People don't know if, well, maybe they do know, but Super Dave, besides being Super Dave Osborne and the show that was on in the 80s and 90s and the Nike commercials and all that stuff, Super was a pretty big time producer of television shows in the 70s. In fact, I'm surprised you guys didn't work together, Danny, at some point or another. And Super, you worked with Red Fox at one time.
Yes, when Fred Silverman got Red Fox from NBC from the Sanford and Son show, he gave him a variety show. And my partner and I produced it. And it was the most wild ride. It was the most fun I had ever had in my life doing it. But it was also beyond stress because Fox was the funniest human being that I'd ever met. Off camera. Mm-hmm. But he did like an occasional toot of cocaine, an occasional puff on marijuana, and he liked intercourse during the day.
Really? During the
so
day?
We were always rehearsing. He was doing one of those three.
I got it.
I only do one of those three while working.
Now, our first show, we're all a little nervous because all the brass at ABC are there and everything else. And it wasn't doing a show. It was just controlling him.
Right.
And we had this huge multi-million-dollar set that was an REDD that turned over into a tenement, and Red was supposed to walk out the door. 500 people in the audience. Okay, music starts. Ladies and gentlemen, Red Fox. Music starts. Nothing happens. Tenement turns. No Red. So I stopped tape, and the ABC people are saying, what's going on? Where is he? I said, maybe he hurt his knee or something. I'll go see.
But inside, you knew it was one of those three things.
I knew it was all of those three things. He never did just one. One would have been okay. But he smoked the marijuana to come down from the coke, and the marijuana could stop a herd of elephants in their tracks. I don't know what it was laced with, but believe me, you saw things.
And what about the afternoon delight? Was he partaking in that at the time?
You got to listen to this super telehome rest of the story.
So I go to the dress room and I knock on the door and I hear Red go, what? I open the door and the girl who does his hair is sitting on him. So I see her body and her dress is over his body and he's under her dress. And I said, Red. And from under the dress, he said, what? I said, we're on camera. And he said, can't a man relax?
And what did you say when he said that?
I shut the door.
Yeah, of course, because a man has to be able to relax.
A man has to have time to himself.
Sure.
It just didn't really time out with what we were doing.
So were you shocked when you saw the IRS at his house in Vegas taking his personal products?
That he helped so many people, so many friends and everything else, and when he went under, no one helped him.
He actually said that and named people's names. He said, I helped this guy and I helped that guy.
Who are some of the people that he helped that didn't help him?
I'll tell you one other story quickly.
Yeah.
Or do you have to get to someone?
No, tell us a story.
Well, it's 4:45, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Don't worry about it.
Some people might start listening soon.
Okay, I went over to his house. My partner and I went over to his house to discuss the show. And he would have a guy greet you at the door who was about 6'5", and he had a metal plate in his head from some accident. And his eyes weren't always there and everything, so you were a little afraid. And he had TV cameras that he had taken from CBS, and they were all over the place to see who's coming down the driveway. And we're talking, and Slappy White drives down the driveway. Now, Slappy White was an old-time comic who's also tremendously funny and Red's best friend. Red also had dogs in the backyard that were half dog and half horse. They were the biggest animals. I don't know what they were. Their face, you couldn't say, that, gee, that's a shepherd or a thing. It wasn't a dog face, really. And they had napkins around their neck because they were always ready to eat. I don't think he fed them. So they're running back and forth in the yard, and Slappy comes down, and he says, I got to talk to you, boss. And Red said, go to the pool house. I'll meet you there. He said, what about your dog? He says, how long have I known you? 50 years? He said, yeah. I said, my dog ever touched you? He said, no. Slappy walked out the door, and we watched through the glass doors like Cinerama domes with the dogs chasing Slappy White all over the yard, and he finally dove into the pool with his clothes on. Red didn't stop him or anything else, and Red turned out and said, God damn, it did bother him, didn't it? and we went back to our meeting.
Okay, that's a fabulous, that's one of those stories that you just hope could ever happen, so you have that story for the rest of your life in your back pocket. And especially Slappy White. You couldn't ask for a better guy to have it
or
happen
or a
to
better him. Name, really. Well,
Chris, though, it wouldn't be funny if it weren't true. That's what made him so great.
Well, Super Dave, it is always a delight to speak to you at this hour of the morning.
That I'm on the cutting room floor of Ocean 13.
Well, no, I understand that.
I don't. You've been nothing but kind to me. I'm rooting for you. I hope you replace Clooney.
Thank you so much.
Now, let's just say that this, either way, it'll be great.
No, it won't be great.
Either way.
What are you talking about? It'll suck without Osborne. What kind of friend are you?
Way it'll be great.
Well, I don't. Maybe I'm a little bit hostile because you've invited 700 people to the premiere, and I was not
around. I don't think Guillermo's wife can go, so if you want to take the ticket.
Excellent. Thank you, Super Dave. Super Dave Osborne. Look for him on Curb Your Enthusiasm and potentially in Ocean's 13. We're not sure. Def Frat Guy is outside. We don't want to make him wait. God forbid. We'll be back with news with Teresa's news, right? Is that what we're doing next? All right. Jimmy Kimmel in for Adam Carolla. We'll be right back.
And he got thrown out of the teaks, so he started Delta Fu Gamma DFG.
Hell yeah.
In Havasu with Moose and Poochie, his phone got ripped off by gypsies, and he's still trying to hook up with Shaved Ashley.
Hell yeah.
DFG, DFG.
Jimmy Kimmel in for Adam Carolla. Danny Bonaducci is here. Teresa Strasser is here. And Def Frat Guy has just entered the building. Good morning, Def Frat Guy.
What up, DFG?
Why are you taking off your shirt?
He wants to show you his beer bong shirt.
Oh, I see. He's you have a problem with Danny, don't you?
He sabotaged me.
What do you mean he sabotaged you?
No, man.
What do you mean? Who sabotaged you, Danny?
Him.
What happened?
Before we even start, Teresa, have I done anything but back this guy up from day one and say, why doesn't he like me? What have I ever
done
to him?
He's been really good to you, Maverick. I don't know.
You sabotaged me for the last time, bro.
Well, what do you mean when you say that, Def Frat Guy? I mean, I see
that Def Frat Guy, it's radio, so the body motions are just going to make me mad at you.
Yeah. He's deaf. He doesn't know. Def Frat Guy, what's the problem? What do you mean he sabotaged you?
You know how I'm selling these T-shirts?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. They're great.
I ordered a new batch at my own expense.
Right.
They returned from the printer last night. Apparently, there was a screw-up. They were supposed to say Def Frat Guy, and you called in and had them change it to Def Fart Guy.
Oh, no. Def Fart Guy?
And they're blaming me?
Are you sure?
So you're saying they've reversed the A and the R, and now it's Def Fart Guy.
Because I'm dyslexic, you assume it was me?
It's not an accident that this happens, and I know why it was you, bro.
Why? Yeah.
You know, explain. Number one, that I'm gunning for your job.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So this is what you do to me. You knew that the T-shirt printer was AA.
Oh, you use your AA connections, he thinks.
You're trying to control Hollywood, bro, and it's not going to work.
Yeah, it's me, the drunks, and the game mafia. That's who's running the joint, man.
So what are you going to do with these now? Because I would love to have one of those Def Fart Guy T-shirts. I think in a way they're more valuable than the Def Frat Guy.
I may take full credit for this.
Yeah. Maybe you could have stumbled onto something brilliant.
You're trying to make this guy like
and laugh. They're laughing at me, bro. I'm the one who loses his face.
Maverick, you have other enemies. You have other enemies in the fraternity world, like Blake Chambers.
You don't have this enemy.
Yeah.
I'm not this kid's enemy.
You may be jumping to conclusions blaming Danny for this. I mean, it could have just been a very simple screw-up at the printer. Did you call them about this?
You know what? It would fall on... Well, I'm not even going to...
Okay.
I'm not going to go there.
Okay.
But look.
That would be just too cheesy for you.
Robin Williams, Courtney Love.
Huh?
What? Robert Downey Jr., they're all part of this mafia, and they hate everything I stand for, bro.
What is it that you stand for, Frat Guy?
Good times.
If you're not wasted, the day is.
Beer bong funnels. Well, getting some.
Uh-huh. You're saying
I'm with you there, buddy.
You're saying that these people, Robin Williams, Courtney Love, etc., are against that?
Yeah, it's a cabal
uh-huh.
of the elite. they are trying to, it's like they can't have a good time, so they're out to bash me.
Yeah.
And the way my style of life or whatever.
Yeah, you know,
but did that fart guy, that's just Bush League, bro.
You know what kills me?
I have to agree, my boss
Carolla, CV, and calls me the scene-less, the sidekick.
Mm-hmm.
Super Dave Osborne, who blows himself up, calls me crazy.
Yeah.
And now the deaf frat guy calls me the elite. Somebody might want to pick.
Yeah. Well, you know what? I guess it's all a matter of perspective, really. But you're the common denominator.
There's a lot to go around to me, apparently.
Wearing a deaf fart guy shirt is like driving around with someone like... There was a guy in the house who shall remain nameless, but he had to drive around on his car. Someone spray painted "date rapist."
Oh, really? Wow. In your frat house?
Yeah, he was. It was consensual.
The rape.
The rape.
On both guys' part.
It's the alleged incident.
Right.
This chick knew he had money.
Uh-huh.
She knew about Poochie or whatever.
Oh, you shouldn't have mentioned
it. I wouldn't compare that to Deaf Fart Guy, though.
Yeah, but no, you know what? Frat Guy, whatever it is. We should probably do the news, right? And then maybe we come back and we'll discuss this issue because we have a lot of plans today. George Lopez is calling in, and I don't think he's part of any conspiracy against you. Terry Hatcher is calling
She's
in today. Joe Pesci is calling in on the show today.
What about Chandler from Friends?
He's not calling in.
Matt? Yeah, he's against you.
You think he's part of this?
Yeah.
Listen, William just cool Shatner. Off, because I really think that could be a big seller. I think Deaf Fart Guy shirts could be even more popular than the Deaf Frat Guy
stuff. Sometimes the misprints become collectible. Do you know what I
mean?
Absolutely. There's a Lincoln Penny with a double print that's worth well over
$4 million. There's a Rogers Hornsby baseball card with his penis out. It's worth like $10,000.
There's so few of them.
Hey, can I just plug my blog?
Yeah, go ahead and plug your blog.
Plug your blog.
Blog.
Go ahead.
DeafFratGuy.com.
And these shirts, the beer bong with the funnel, Darwin style.
You got to sell those, though. Sell those Deaf Fart Guy shirts.
I'm telling you, man.
I'm telling you, I promise you it's a good idea, all right? Deaf Frat Guy, you go cool off in the corner. Go take a little walk around the building or something. We'll come back with Deaf Frat Guy.
He's making everything I can do.
Not to what?
Just kiss him? Just kick his ass.
Right. Dude, I train MMA fighters, bro.
Yeah. I remember. He lost in the first, didn't he?
All right. Now, here we go. Let's do it. Let's do a little news with Teresa.
Teresa Strasser, the number one Jewish news reporter on this station right now.
Yesterday on The View, Rosie O'Donnell announced that she and ABC were unable to come to terms on a contract extension.
Deaf fat guy.
Nice.
Rosie reportedly wanted a one-year, $10 million deal. ABC was only interested in a three-year deal. Donald Trump had a big day because he took it as his cue to kick off his farewell trash talk marathon and went on every show he possibly could. Here he is on Hannity and Combs.
I received from one of my fans a disgusting, huge pair of, like, underpants or panties or something, and they framed them, and they sent them to me, and I wanted to get them out of my office as soon as possible.
But they were
so
Rosie's?
I sent them to Barbara Walters so that she could hang them up in her office so that she can remember Rosie.
Were they supposed to be Rosie's?
They were Rosie's. They were Rosie's. They were worn by Rosie in some third-rate movie she did.
And then he went on Larry King, where the shrapnel hit Joy Behar.
Do you have a thought as to who should replace her?
Well, there are a lot of good people. I don't want to mention that. But I have a lot of good thoughts as to who should replace her, Larry. But, you know, the problem with that show, they have somebody like Joy Behar, who's third rate, maybe fourth rate. She's got no talent whatsoever. I mean, I don't know what the show's going to do. Barbara's obviously losing it. Barbara looks like just a lapdog for Rosie. Rosie, what she does to Barbara, I mean, she's like a dictator over Barbara. Barbara, I've totally lost respect for this woman.
I'm with him.
Yeah, well,
I did that show, and they were just so—they were really mean to my wife.
Yeah,
so I let them have it.
Yeah. Well, we'll see how you feel about that in a year.
Jimmy, have you done The View?
I have not done The View. Shockingly, I
can't imagine.
I'm not. They're not big fans of me and/or the show over there.
Oh, that's what they said before we did the show, waiting to go on. They looked. They sent the producers out and said we should let you know in advance. Barbara and the ladies are not only not fans of Breaking Bonaducci, but they think you're very, very irresponsible and are going to take you to task.
Yeah, but they're right about that. I'm talking about a very wholesome talk show on ABC, their own network. But I understand why they don't like me, and I would probably wouldn't like me if I was them either. But there's a lot of crap that goes over the air on that show.
Yeah.
And I disagree with Donald Trump about Joy Behar, but I think if you make an enemy out of him, he will devote his entire life to destroying you.
He waters the grudge garden every day until it's lush and growing.
If you're going to make an enemy, that's the only way to do it. That's the only way to do it is if you make a promise that you are going to seek revenge, like my dad used to say, revenge is a dish best served cold. When the guy's getting hit in the head with the bat in 2013, he's got to wonder what it's for. Why is this happening?
I don't think I'd step in the ring with Barbara Walters. She scares me.
I'd like to watch her face fall back to its normal position like a Rottweiler.
Well, now, they taped an episode of The View with Alec Baldwin. And as you heard, he went on there to talk about the message that he left for his 11-year-old daughter, Ireland. And some news about what he said has leaked out. Here is, allegedly and apparently, what he said to the ladies on The View about that voicemail. Obviously, calling your child a pig or anything else is improper and inappropriate, and I apologize to my daughter for that. There's nothing wrong with being frustrated or angry about the situation. It's the way you do it, and as people often do in this world, I took it out on the wrong person. He insisted that he'd never done anything like this before, and then he revealed that he has asked NBC to release him from his contract for 30 Rock. He doesn't want to be on the show, and he doesn't want the cast and the crew of that show to be affected by the chaos in his life.
That message was very disturbing, but I feel really bad for him. I ran into Alec Baldwin in the airport at about a year and a half ago, and he was in the airport because when his daughter comes to visit him in L.A., or if he goes to New York, he flies out there, picks her up, flies back with her, and then when he's got to drop her off, he flies back with her. And I mean, most people would just put their kid on the plane.
Yeah, sure.
And this is a guy, obviously, that cares about his child, and that's a shame. But you know what? It doesn't matter, because George Lopez is on the telephone right now.
Oh, good.
Yeah, let's put on. Hey, George.
Lopez, what's up?
Hey, let me tell you this. If being called a pig was the worst thing that he said to his daughter, man, I was way ahead of the game.
Well, you had a horrible, horrible childhood, George.
Oh, man. Well, they didn't have answering machines back then, so they just insulted you directly to your face.
And a lot of celebrities like pigs. For instance, George Clooney, I think, has one as a pet, so maybe he meant that affectionately. How are you, George?
I'm good.
What's going on?
You know what? Not a lot, man. I did that HBO special, so I'm starting to kind of tour a little bit this summer. So
beautiful.
And I'm waiting to see what ABC is going to do with my show.
Mm-hmm. How long has that been on now? How many seasons?
It's been out since 2002. And,
jeez.
And you know what's crazy, man, is that the last 4 years, I've been up against American Idol directly. And you just get hammered, and I'm still around. So when I meet with those guys, they always go, well, the numbers aren't what they're supposed to be. It's like, dude, am I Sanjaya?
Well, maybe you should turn it into some sort of a competition. Maybe someone gets voted off the family on the show. I mean, you got to adapt with the times.
I did that with my daughter the last year.
Now, George, you got a benefit coming up for the National Kidney Foundation.
Yes.
And it's this Sunday.
On Sunday at Warner Brothers, yeah.
The 28th Annual Gift of Life Celebration and Awards Dinner. It's at Warner Brothers Studios in Burbank. Hilary Duff will be there. Kenny G will be there. Kenny Babyface Edmonds will be there. Any other Kennys be?
I don't think there are any other
Kennys. Kenny Mayne, perhaps?
Is there anything I can do, like, money-wise or anything to get, like, higher up on a list? Because kidneys are, I'm guessing, going to be pretty important in my future.
Yes, that was actually very important in mine.
Yeah, so I'm thinking, is there anything I can do to get, like, bumped up on the list, like donate a little extra, grease the right doctor?
Well, you know, as I don't think there is that you can do that, but as national spokesperson of the Kidney Foundation, I can tell you off the record that I met a guy in New Orleans that went to Thailand and got one.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah.
I know a guy that went to Thailand to get stem cell work done on his heart.
Wow, so prey upon people in third world countries. That's your advice.
Yeah, well, it's off-the-record advice.
Right. Well, of course, we're on the radio, though, but we're not entirely
I'm sure
off
the National Kidney Foundation will be very happy you shared that.
You know what you could do also is you do this testing, and what are the odds that somebody's kidney matches yours,
it's
George?
It's really tough. I mean, with medicine, you can kind of get in and out of, like, being an exact match. I mean, you can kind of kind of split in the middle. But,
maybe that's what Angelina Jolie and Madonna are doing, and we don't realize it. It seems like they're doing this great thing by adopting these kids in these other countries, but perhaps it's a diabolical scheme where they've had them tested, and then they're going to farm their organs for any potential future health problems.
Wow, you are, like, brilliant and devious.
Thank you. Thank
they're
you.
Harvesting organs.
See, I used to get, like, really sentimental when I would drink, like, not like everybody thinks I would get. And then they do a news story about some little girl that needed a kidney that I wouldn't even know, and I'd call up. And I'd say, hi, this is Danny Bonaducci. She can have one of mine.
Is that right?
Yeah, all the time.
Well, what's she going to do with yours? It's one of the few. It's like, you know what? I'd rather just pass away.
They don't take just anybody's. My stepdad had a kidney transplant, and you have to be pretty healthy.
Yeah. Actually, to my great kidney. Surprise, my kidneys are pretty good. My liver's shot, but my kidneys are all right.
Yeah, I'm sure your kidneys are all right. But, George, everything's going all right in your personal life? Good.
Yeah, I've known Danny forever. Danny's a great dude.
Thanks, George, man. And I are very friendly, and George is in an interesting situation because his wife gave him a kidney. So that's something that you can never repay, obviously. And yet I'm sure you have to pay it back every single day in little ways because...
Yeah, you're right. It's almost like you have to behave, but, you know, it's hollow, you know?
Uh-huh. You can't. I mean, you can, anything you do is like, I gave you a kidney.
But, yeah. George, you have a female kidney now. Do you feel, you know, that you like different movies and such now?
Well, you know what was really funny? Early on, like, you know, my wife had her family over. They're Cubans, you know, so they're always really loud, and they got, like, Cuban music. I hated Cuban music. I mean, I hate it. I hate the way it sounds. It just sounds... kind of like dudes just, you know, hey, what does that do? You know, they just start playing instruments. And I actually found myself turning it up.
Wow.
Really? You got the Cuban kidney now.
And that was a result of the kidney being Cuban and pumping my blood.
That's the only side effect? There's no, you're not getting yeast infections?
My nipples get really tender. Sometimes.
Do you like the Sandra Bullock movies more?
Well, you know, she's my executive
boss.
I have to love all of them.
Yeah, do you work with
the
her?
The Boathouse or whatever that is.
Lake House. I loved it. Do you work with her very closely?
Yeah, I see her a lot, actually. We're going to go this Saturday and watch Jesse James do figure eight racing.
Oh, really?
Now, if I was a racer against Jesse James, I'd try to T-bone him just because of who he is.
Right.
You know, I'm out there struggling in my car. The guy owns West Coast Choppers, a multi-millionaire. I'm trying to take him out from the beginning.
So you're saying you put a bounty on Jesse James's
Absolutely.
Head this weekend. But I didn't know you guys hung out together.
Just out of spite, I try to roll him.
Tell me Sandy's nice, because I love her movies.
Sandy.
Oh, yeah, no, she's great. Yeah, very nice. Always been nice.
How did you meet her? How did that pairing come about?
You know, years ago, like in 1999 or 2000, some guy came and said that, you know, he was working on something for TV, and you know, very vague. I don't think he really had anything other than he worked for Sandy. And then he came and saw me by himself. I just thought he was trying to get into the club for free.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And then a year later, he comes back. I hadn't heard from him in a year. And then a year later, he revealed that he worked for Sandra Bullock. And then I got her to come and see me at the Improv in Brea, which is now, I think, a 24-hour fitness. It's not even a club anymore.
I think there's still an Improv in Brea.
Fine sponsor.
Yeah, and then she came, and that night, and I had to get her to drive out there, man, and I let her out there, and I thought at any minute she's going to turn around. I mean, it's 50, like, that's almost 60 miles away.
And she came out there?
She came out there.
George, were
me.
You so nervous doing comedy that night?
Yeah. Because I knew that a lot was on the line. I never had anything on the line. I mean, I was just struggling like anybody else, so I knew that if I got her there, that everything was on the line.
Now, has there ever been any kind of, like, romantic feelings between you and Sandra Bullock?
No, no.
His wife just gave him a kidney, Danny.
No, yeah, but that's almost like having a three-way.
No, never has. No, three-way. No, never has.
That'd be kind of weird. You're doing it, but you got one of your wife's organs with you.
There had to be in your head at some point, like, hey, maybe Sandra Bullock is into me. She's coming here to see me all the way out. And I mean, she's driving all this way. I mean, did that ever cross your mind?
Never crossed my mind. I got a mirror in my house, man. I don't know what I look like.
Don't sell yourself short.
I think you're handsome.
Oh, you're a handsome devil indeed, and you've got the kidney of a woman half your age.
I think it's great. And you know what? It's given me really for the first time a chance to be healthy. I mean, I'd never been healthy growing up. So even in my, you know, there were signs. You know, the one thing about our culture is that we don't go to the doctor when we see signs, man. I mean, you
right.
know, we just kind of ignore them. They think they're going to go away, and, you know, they don't. I mean, I had an uncle that just, you know, he died in pieces, man. He had diabetes, and it just kept, you know, like pick apart in Sun Valley. They just kept taking parts from him.
Yeah. I've been to that pickup park, by the way.
It's good.
I met your uncle. He's a terrific guy.
He's right there. He's just, you know, just a chassis now.
It's right next to Pep Boys. You get car parts, and then you can get, you know, an organ or two.
But, well, you know, he didn't realize he had diabetes. And, you know, diabetes runs really big in our culture. So I, you know, to be healthy for the first time in my life is and I'm trying to stop drinking, which is the hardest thing ever.
No kidding.
God bless you, George Lopez. Yeah. The National Kidney Foundation of Southern California, their celebration and awards dinner is Sunday, April 29th at the Warner Brothers Studio in Burbank. You can see George, Hillary Duff, Kenny G, Babyface is there. Go to kidneysocal.org for tickets and info. George Lopez, Wednesday nights at 8 on the ABC Television Network. Thank you, George.
Hey, thank you, guys.
Or as you say in your native tongue, muchas gracias.
Hola, Liverpool.
Later, man.
I think that was an insult. I don't know.
No, I think it was good.
So should we continue with the news? Let's take a break and let's do the news, the rest of the news when we come back.
Yeah, we're going to talk a lot about Idol. Did you see it last night?
Not only did I see it, but Sanjaya is on my television program tonight.
Nice.
Yes. Wow. We welcome, rolling out the red carpet for the man with... Oh, so really the most spectacular hair, I think, of this decade.
By the way, I'm going to tell you why they're now calling him Ganjaya.
All right. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, well, I think I can guess right there.
Drugs. All right. It's Jimmy Kimmel in for Adam Carolla. We'll take a break. Come back with Def Frat Guy. Oh, it's a big show today. Greg Fitzsimmons, Billy West, Terry Hatcher, and Joe Pesci. We'll be right back with more news.
Great moments in local news.
A raccoon showed up inside a home near Cincinnati. Animal control eventually caught the raccoon and escorted it out to the backyard.
Another great moment in local news. Now back to the Adam Carolla Show.
There's no Adam Carolla here this morning, though. It's Jimmy Kimmel in for Adam. Adam is in New York. His movie is premiering at the Tribeca Film Festival. It's called The Hammer.
That's
Adam
plays
a boxer, and that's how Adam and I met originally. He was my boxing trainer in one of those... wacky on-air radio boxing bouts that we did, and he and I did little to no training, but we fell very deeply in love, and now many years later, here we are. Danny Bonaducci and Teresa Strasser is here. The Def Rat Guy is standing by. He's very angry this morning. Don't start yet, Def Rat Guy. I don't want to get into it because we got to finish the news. George Lopez called a minute ago, and he had the audacity to interrupt Teresa in the middle of the news. We want to correct that right now.
I was
Teresa,
happy to hear from him.
Go crazy.
All right.
Be careful, man.
American Idol was on last night with a very special two-hour Idol Gives Back episode. A lot of footage of Ryan Seacrest, Simon Cowell, Randy Jackson, and Paula Abdul visiting impoverished people.
It's what a bizarre program that was. I was just seeing Ryan Seacrest with his frosted hair in Africa is the contrast. I love to watch Jerry Lewis tell them because I love the weirdness of it.
Right.
Yes.
The mix. But I've never seen a weirder mix in a show than
so
last
jarring,
night.
It was jarring, especially this was the night before last, but when he hands the one plate of food to the kids and he says, here's one plate, there's more. And he only brings one at a time.
And then they had this...
They don't get enough votes, they take the food back. That's
a woman
the part you didn't get.
Actually died on the show. I mean, you know, and it was horrible. This woman was in Africa, and she had AIDS, and suddenly Simon Cowell and Ryan Seacrest show up to visit her in the hut. And obviously they're, you know, stricken by this.
Right.
And it's very upsetting. And then they see 2 days later she died. And then it's, and now here's Celine Dion and Elvis singing together.
Right.
This duet, which was a huge mistake, by the way. If you're going to have Celine Dion sing with Elvis, you get the fat Elvis for the contrast.
Right.
I never thought of that.
Instead, they went with, in fact, you get the fat Elvis and have him devour Celine Dion at the end of the song. He actually eats her. I think it would make a big statement about hunger. And yet they went with thin Elvis, and I feel like they copped out there. But,
you know,
by
maybe
the way,
it
we have
been...
that if you didn't hear it. This was Celine Dion and the virtual Elvis duetting, if that's a verb. You were saying, Danny?
I have no idea. I'm just saying, a fat guy, when they're doing this whole thing for Africa, maybe it would have been out of place. Show overfed people.
Yeah, maybe so. This is the Elvis part. And they had them actually, like, CGI'd together.
Yeah. So they could shoot Elvis from the back?
Yeah.
Remember Sam Kinison's thing about necrophilia and someone having sex with your corpse while you're dead and looking down on it from heaven? I think this is the equivalent for Elvis looking down. Suddenly he's been thrust into a duet with Celine Dion. I'd rather be sexually assaulted in my grave by Lawrence Taylor than to be put into a duet with Celine.
The weird thing is, it's also more likely that that will happen.
Well, that probably will happen.
Elvis wouldn't have been happy with Celine?
I don't know. I think Elvis probably would have been happy with anything but towards the end of his life. But I think an Elvis with a clear mind, Celine maybe wouldn't be right up his alley.
Well, Celine, I'll give her, it's a wonderful voice, or at least it's a wonderful range, but sure, she's the antithesis of Elvis. She's just not cool.
Yeah.
She's your aunt singing at a party when you wish she wouldn't.
Yes.
Well, they raised a lot of money.
How much?
Well, during the show last night, they said that they had already raised $30 million. And I'm sure, because for me, when that malaria baby died, I was dialing.
Yeah.
So, because not only did that one, the woman with AIDS pass away, but a baby with malaria.
Yeah, they laid it on thick last night.
Yeah, I was dialing. So I'm sure they made a lot more than the $30 million they already had.
I heard they actually gave that baby malaria to make a point on the show. They felt like the one life would be.
Think about it, though. If that's one life that could save thousands of other malaria babies.
They felt like it was worth it.
Yeah.
Now, you're having Sanjaya on your show tonight.
Sanjaya is on my show tonight, yes.
So, here's some news mm-hmm. that I want to break about Sanjaya.
Okay, good. I need to ask him some things.
Drum roll.
Yeah. Gold questions.
He is straight.
Of course.
That is what he's telling People Magazine. And mm-hmm. here is his quote. I've always gotten along with girls better because I was raised by women. I got teased in school because people figured I must be gay because I understand women. I think that's why guys didn't like me, because I got along with girls so well. He goes on to say,
I'm gay.
When I went up to girls, they would give me a hug and a kiss on the cheek like I was their gay friend. But I was the straight guy that understood them. And here's another revelation. Sanjaya had a girlfriend at the beginning of American Idol, but he had to shake her loose because she was too clingy.
Is that right?
Yeah, he says, I didn't want to get into a really serious relationship because I was 16. I just wanted to date and have fun. Now, the other revelation is that his mom, Jillian Blith, according to the National Enquirer, they uncovered some court records saying that she was arrested and incarcerated for growing marijuana.
Awesome.
Yes, so thus, the people are calling him
one more Ganjai. Revelation, and I think you have the Bible. You just can't, how many revelations can you have about one?
My mission tonight is going to be to try to fix you up on a date with Sanjaya, Teresa.
He's underage.
He'll get older.
Gay as they come.
He'll get older.
You know, the guys always thought I was gay because the girls would come up and kiss me and treat me like their sister, and I was doing them. That's why you think he's
before
gay.
Before I get to the, I'll make this quick because I know Def Rat guy's here, but before I get to People's 50 Most Beautiful People, Jimmy, I think you should seriously look into your Rolodex and think about who you're going to fix me up with.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, I told you, Sanjaya. I mean, that's not enough.
Somebody over 21.
Okay. Well, listen, none of my friends are... I just don't think that you... I don't know. Well, my friends are either married or degenerates. No way. I'd feel too responsible if I were to fix you up with one of those
guys. That's true.
But I will think about it.
Think about it.
Yes, yeah. Def Rat guy.
You have to know someone who would be... Who'd be psyched to get down with an eagle cougar.
What about you?
Thank you. I'm a baby cub cougar.
Well, Def Rat guy's, you know, he's just a kid. He's just out of college. He's upset this morning because, and he believes for some reason that Danny had something to do with this, but he ordered a batch of T-shirts, Def Rat guy T-shirts, and they came back saying Def Fart guy on them. Danny says it's probably just a typo, but Def Rat guy believes that it's some sort of, conspiracy against
sabotage.
You?
A vast conspiracy.
Uh-huh. Why would
perpetuated by this town's AA mafia, bro.
I see. Okay. All right. Danny, of course, the leader of the AA mafia.
Why they would do it, it's beyond me. All I stand for is good times and to.
Right. Of course, yes. Yeah. You mean nothing but good times here.
I hate to get in the middle of this ugliness. I'll leave you with this.
Uh-huh.
People Magazine, the issue drops tomorrow, their Most Beautiful People issue.
Uh-huh.
And it includes Drew Barrymore.
No.
Adam Carolla's favorite, Catherine McPhee. Jessica Biel, Rashida Jones, Rosario Dawson. Carrie Underwood, Reese Witherspoon. That guy from Prison Break, Wentworth Miller. Helen Mirren.
Oh, come on with the Helen Mirren. Please.
She's in there. And
Helen Hayes.
As for the guys, Eric Bana. Yeah. He's a good looking guy.
He's the Hulk. Well, he was Hulk,
he was the Hulk.
Was a crappy movie.
And in Munich, which was a good movie. And Patrick Dempsey.
He's beautiful.
See, no, Dr. McDreamy, I can tell good-looking guys from bad-looking guys the same way I can tell a good-looking girl from a bad-looking girl. I mean, there's a certain aesthetic that you can tell. Dr. McDreamy, not hot.
Kind of a cutesy pie.
I disagree. But you, really?
Oh, look at him. Yeah, he's a good-looking guy, of course.
But he's cute. He's not like Clooney.
Yeah.
Well, they're like chiseled.
Yeah, although not every one of those are chiseled. I mean, Helen Mirren is like 75 years old.
Yeah, but they're doing that.
She's
cool.
A beautiful woman. I'm Teresa Strasser, and that's the news.
All right, there you go. Death Threat Guy.
Teresa Strasser.
Wait, you forgot the one of the most beautiful lady.
CNN.
Sangina.
Jimmy's gonna meet. Clever. Jimmy's gonna meet her tonight.
Yeah, him tonight, and he's not gay, and I'll have to find out about his mom if she can get us some weed. Death Threat Guy. Greg Fitzsimmons is waiting in the wings, so can you make this quick?
I want to do, basically, dude.
Yeah, what is this you want from me?
Death Threat Guy blog.
Okay, this is your blog.
Part
blog.
Of eight.
This is
interview with Jimmy Kimmel.
Okay, are you recording this? Is that why you're speaking like this?
Hell yeah.
Okay. Yeah, Jimmy, he podcasts these on deathrightguy.com.
Okay. I'd like to thank you for your bravery for doing this.
You're welcome.
I did Danny last week.
Uh-huh. Yes, you did.
And bro, first of all, Danny, I want to say, you know, maybe you're PO'd at me because your shirts, you know, because the shirts are not bedazzled.
Right.
Or they're not made of spandex or whatever. But dude, where deathrackeye.com is a spandex-free zone, bro.
Okay.
The bedazzler stops here, bro.
Right on.
No, but dude, if you didn't do it, it was totally JV of me to blame you.
I agree.
But if you did do it.
Junior varsity. Oh.
If you did do it, it was Bush League.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right. But I don't think
he
did do it.
Is there a difference between JV and Bush?
I do think that those Deaf Fart Guy t-shirts
will sell better, yeah.
Will be more valuable than the regular Deaf Rat Guy t-shirts anyway.
It's a beer bong.
Yeah, and I see you've got beer bong t-shirts too. Go ahead and interview me. Let's get this over with, Deaf Rat Guy. I'm very busy.
The Man Show is what inspired me to go to college.
Is that right? Really?
Now I would like to give back to you.
Okay.
I would like to be... where do I apply to become the announcer for your show?
Oh, we already have an announcer on the show, Dickie Barrett, so we're not really looking for another announcer.
But what happens if he's too sick to come in?
They go with Shadow Stevens.
If he's too sick to come in, I don't know. He never really misses, but I guess maybe I have my cousin or Uncle Frank fill in or something like that.
Bro, yeah. Those guys are on the show enough.
Uh-huh.
I mean, look, I can do this.
Uh-huh.
Tonight is Jimmy Kimmel Live. From Hershey, Pennsylvania, Sangina. Tonight's guest, Adam Carolla.
This music isn't helping your case, I think, really. I mean, you really need to do it over like the theme song. No, it's Guillermo.
Musical guest with the album Buy You a Drink, T-Pain.
Tonight we have the Arctic Monkeys actually on the show.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
And I don't think Adam's on your show tonight, is he?
No, he's not. He's in New York. Yeah. You're not doing a great job as an announcer. I'm going to be honest, Deaf Rat Guy. Maybe we can figure something else for you. But let's do this interview and get this over with because we have a lot on tap this morning.
Actually, I think that was it.
Oh, that was it.
Oh, wow.
That was the interview?
Well, usually you have some probing questions or something.
You have no questions for me?
Oh. You and Carolla spend a lot of time on the road together during the Man Show days.
Uh-huh.
Did you ever see his wang?
That's a good question.
A pen can or a pimple?
I'm somewhere in between, I'd say. Somewhere in between.
This is a normal, everyday wang?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know,
I've never seen a flaccid, but... You know, it's you know.
A paw fell across
the
room.
Let's say it does the trick and leave it at that.
Because I'm a grower, you know, not a shower.
Yeah, right.
If you see me when I'm not ready, it's embarrassing.
Yeah, I don't know. Again, I don't know what Adam looks like when he is not excited.
Right.
But I don't know. I imagine it's just regular. Is that it, Deaf Rat Guy?
Hell yeah.
Okay, all right, there you go. Deaf Rat Guy, everybody. Again, Deaf Rat Guy.
For this blog?
Yes, DeafRatGuy.com. And also, I know in your podcast, you like to end, you know, you have a sign-off.
This has been Deaf Rat Guy. If you're not wasted, today is.
All right, there you go. Deaf Rat Guy, DeafRatGuy.com. If you want to review that, I mean, I don't see why you wouldn't want to listen to that again and again and again. Greg Fitzsimmons is with us. One of the funniest guys there is, Billy West is coming up today, Terry Hatcher, Joe Pesci. We may have to go to noon. Alert the affiliates. Jimmy Kimmel in for Adam Carolla. We'll be back.
Back to the Adam Carolla Show. Call 866-901-ADAM.
I'm staying with a friend of mine. He's like, yeah, I bought you an inflatable mattress to sleep on. Really, nothing screams. You're only welcome for one night, like the inflatable mattress. It's like, hey, I threw a sheet on a pool raft. Hope you like it. Like, yeah, I hope your house floods. I'll paddle out of here.
Comedian Greg Fitzsimmons on the Adam Carolla Show with special guest host Jimmy Kimmel.
Thank you. Yes, I'm here in for Adam. He's in New York. He's got a movie called The Hammer at the Tribeca Film Festival. Greg's here. Greg's going to be at the Improv here in Hollywood on Friday and Saturday night. GregFitzsimmons.com is his website. Good morning, Greg.
Good morning, best friend of Adam Carolla. He'll do anything for me.
We had a conversation. Actually, I was overhearing Teresa and Greg talk here in the studio before, while we're in commercial break, and Greg, both of them mentioned that they like fat guys slash girls. And I thought that was, I think it's interesting. Every once in a while you see a woman that's into that. But Greg, I didn't know that you were an aficionado of the...
I think it was because growing up, I was so skinny. I was like bony. Yeah. Like I wouldn't wear shorts. And I was just impressed with people that could put weight on.
Really?
And I like girls that had olive skin. So like just a fat Italian girl, a little Greek girl.
It's a very turn-of-the-century attitude.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, it was a Renaissance man.
Yeah, but it's nice and soft and voluptuous.
Well, and as a teenager, it's not really that soft. It's just, I mean, to me, large breasts are large breasts. I don't care what they're attached to. They're still large breasts. Mm-hmm. You just take the context away of the large arms that are next to them and the belly that's underneath them. They're still large breasts.
You're able to boil it down. That is a great gift to be into that because, and it's great for fat people too because if you're a guy that loves fat girls, the world is your oyster.
Well, when in Rome, and I was, and there were a lot of fat girls. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
To me, it's not exclusive, but I don't mind a big guy. It doesn't trouble me.
Well, it came up because Teresa actually had a crush on this one comedian who
he's on the bigger side.
He doesn't.
Life.
She doesn't want to mention
Louis Anderson.
No,
Louis Anderson. But he was kind of hot for me.
He's a younger fellow.
He's a younger guy who I used to play hockey with for years in New York. As a matter of fact, we were on a team with Tim Robbins. It was the Firemen's League in New York City, and we won the championship one year. And Tim Robbins took us all out to dinner at a steakhouse, got us cigars. He was just so happy. He's a huge hockey nut. But this guy then. Teresa liked him, and he rebuffed Teresa.
Well, cruelly rejected, I think.
Really?
You know, that's weird. That actually happens. I mean, look at her. And that happens
I would buff her.
Thank you.
Yeah, I wouldn't rebuff you.
Thank you. Well, he's on the road a lot.
What happened exactly, Teresa?
Well, what happened was we went out a few times, and then he said, do you want to come see my show at the Improv? And I thought it was a date. Like, we'd have a... Greg just put his hand on my knee. I thought we'd have a drink after. Uh-huh. So I went by myself.
Right.
So I saw the show, and then after the show, I looked over, and he was with a blonde, and they were clearly not just friends. So it was a unilateral date. Only I knew that we were on a date. To him, he just invited me to see his show. But we had already gone out a couple times on actual dates, so it was an easy mistake to make. And then I had to leave there by myself.
It was a cruel and intentional act on his part.
Yeah, I agree. I agree that. I think. I mean, that's a weird thing. I mean, you go in a couple. It'd be one thing if you just met and he said, "Come to the show." And
you found it was a name.
You've been out on a couple of dates, and then he's there with another date.
And one of the dates was a couple nights before that one. So I was confused, and then I was by myself, and I was very embarrassed, and I had to try to get out.
You made love to him.
No.
She spent the night.
No, I did not.
But
spent
you most
the night.
Certainly got screwed by
it. It was
him.
Heavy petting, correct?
I'm very old-fashioned. Mm-hmm, we only kissed.
You only kissed?
But I did spend the night.
Yeah.
You slept over?
Yeah, I was six Jamesons into that night
when
we met.
I hate that. Mm. Could you do the t-shirt and panty things and then say, I don't really feel like doing it?
I told him before I went over there, I'll go over there, but nothing's going to happen.
Fine, then take your panty-covered ass and get out of my house.
Maybe
this break out the sex.
Way of punishing you for doing that, because nobody would believe that. I was like, yeah, I'm going to come over there, but nothing's going to happen.
Really?
Well, I believe it. If she said, listen, I don't, I just, because I know her now, and she has like a
But if you didn't know her, like he didn't, he doesn't really know.
I never assume a girl's going to have sex with me on the first date.
But
I'm
if she's
do everything
sleeping
it takes
over your house,
yeah, then I'm going to assume a grown woman is into sex.
Yes, there
yeah,
you go.
Yeah. And it's one thing cruel if you're 21 and it's like, hey, it's like a sleepover party. But you know, you're not 21,
you're
Teresa,
eight,
and
21.
It's like, at this point
I'm
you're
29.
Yeah, I mean, you're old enough to know that if you're going to spend the night, then
you would
it's,
think
it's a varsity. Dude,
there's a 21-year-old that was telling me about
as
knife
the deaf
play
guy would say.
You know, these kids today.
Can we talk about Greg Fitzsimmons?
Yeah, let's
and
talk
his,
about
his
Greg
hilarity. But one thing I wanted to ask you is, I know you worked with Ellen DeGeneres. You have 4 Emmys,
sure,
from working on her show, and she co-hosted The Idol Gives Back last night.
Did she?
Yes.
Yeah.
You missed it,
Greg. I'm also
I
looking
took her off my TiVo
at your. At your resume here, it says you wrote for The Man Show, though I don't recall that.
Well, Jimmy, mm-hmm. I may have been there a little after you.
That's not The Man Show. I wish all these, I look online, I see all these people saying they did, they were on The Man Show. I'm like, who are these people?
Let me ask you something, because yes. I had heard through the grapevine that you were unhappy with me for doing that.
That
at
is
the time.
I didn't even know, oh. I didn't even know about this until just now.
Okay.
So, you worked on The Man
not
Show.
Not that we knew
after
each other, but my manager at the time, Dave Rath, and you, I know, are close. And he and I, when I was taking the job, I asked him, "Is this?" Because I have always had a lot of respect for you, and I'm not blowing smoke
well,
up your
thank
ass.
You,
but I didn't want to. I didn't want to cause bad blood by taking the job, but at the same time, I had 2 kids, and
yeah.
I was like,
no,
you know,
no, I would never begrudge you something like that. I'd just like you to take this off your resume. That's
fine.
How
it's
dare
obvious
you?
At this point, it really doesn't, I don't think I need it any longer.
You wouldn't begrudge him.
There was a time
him
when I really needed that.
You wouldn't
credit
begrudge him, but you would blackball him from show business.
Absolutely not.
I'm true because he's had me on his show many times.
I have, and will continue to do so.
This is one of the weirdest shows I've ever been a part of.
Well,
here.
As long as
there's a conspiracy going
well,
on.
As long as
they're
going to rehash stuff, I got a bone to pick with Bonaducci over there.
Of course you do.
Who left me hanging out to dry when Andrew Dice Clay was on recently. Andrew Dice is on, and he's bad-mouthing comics, saying that there's no camaraderie, there's no brothership,
oh,
they're
yeah,
all backstabbers. And I hear this, and I go, well, you know what? That's not my experience. And he started saying, well, Dane Cook is great because he sold a lot of CDs. I mean, case closed. And I called up, I go, well, I don't judge comedians on commerce. I judge them on their art. I mean, and there is a huge camaraderie. As a matter of fact, one of the things that Dane Cook comes under fire for is that he's accused of stealing jokes, which I said one way or the other, I'm not weighing in on that. But people are bringing that up, defending the people who he's allegedly stealing from. So there's a support there. And he was saying people are attacking him because he's successful.
Mm-hmm. Where do I get into this part?
Well, then
story
you suddenly go, well, now who are you? Do you make any money doing stand-up? I'm like, I've sat next to you twice on the air. Yeah. I hung out with you after the show. I tried to get you in with my agent.
That was awesome.
And all of a sudden, you have no idea who I am.
Dude, I don't see the phone screens.
Do you recognize this high-pitched, almost feminine voice?
Apparently not.
Apparently not.
We both have red pubic hair. I mean, there's a bond.
Not
that goes
on the phone, we don't.
Yeah, I do.
A little full of yourself, maybe.
Well, we're going to settle this.
I'm not full of myself. I just feel like, you know, we had a connection. We hung out. We exchanged phone numbers. And all of a sudden, Dice Man.
Did you call?
What's that?
Did you call me?
I called my agent, gave him your number. And you were supposed to call
that's
him.
That's how it's done in Hollywood. This Hollywood feud. You call the agent, you give the number.
Yeah. Everybody's
maybe
mad
put
at
out
me
a
today
statement.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, and really, there's, I mean, who can blame them, really, Danny? You're a weird person. You really are one of the strangest people I've ever met. And but interesting.
I want to disagree. I felt very comfortable with Dan. The second I met
I'm
Danny,
not saying
I felt
uncomfortable
him
with him, but he's got a lot. He's an onion with many layers, many layers.
I like
many
that
layers enough to keep me working since 1964.
All right, we're gonna peel the onion a little more in a moment. Greg Fitzsimmons is with us. He's at the Improv here in Hollywood Friday and Saturday night. Go to improv.com for tickets and information. Go to gregfitzsimmons.com for nude photographs of Greg
what
and
nice
future dates where he may be a appearing in your area. We're going to come back, talk to Greg, and we got Billy West, Terry Hatcher, and Joe Pesci still
man
to come on the program.
This is like laughing.
There you go. It's Adam Carolla Show. Jimmy Kimmel filling in.
Hi. God, I hate my voice. Hi, it's Sarah. Hi. Whatever. Hi, it's Sarah Silverman. You're listening to the Adam Carolla Show. I don't know why. That's something you need to look deep into your soul to find out.
Oh, thank you, Sarah. It's Jimmy Kimmel in for Adam Carolla. We have a big show today. Adam's not here, which makes it all the bigger. Danny and Teresa are here. Greg Fitzsimmons is with us. A very funny gentleman whom you can see at the Hollywood Improv this Friday and Saturday night. And Terry Hatcher, I think, is going to phone in the next break. So
yeah.
Desperate Housewives Terry Hatcher will be calling
in.
Did
you see her last night dancing to Stay Alive?
I did. I don't know what was going on there with that whole dancing to Stay Alive. Because, you know, they promoted. Do you watch the American Idol, Greg?
I don't.
You don't ever?
I don't believe in people getting famous on these shows. It hurts me on a very deep level.
Yeah.
Because you've been working for years as a stand-up.
Yeah, and then it's like Last Comic Standing or any of these shows where it's just everyone just goes right around the outside, gets to the front of the line. And
yet, does anyone remember those comics from who won Last Comic Standing?
Good point.
John Heffron.
Yeah, is that right?
He was my sidekick in Detroit.
Yeah, no, it's not even a trivia question. Now you're right.
Yeah.
You're right. The resentment's gone.
But buddy, you won 4 Emmys.
Yeah,
that's really impressive.
Well, it is, but you know, it's to me, it's just about I like the system. The system works. The thing with stand up, especially, and I guess with music, I can kind of see like, yeah, I guess there's a log jam because the big record companies are not promoting good artists. They're promoting good-looking people who they can pitch, whatever. But with stand-up, it's pure. If you're funny, you're going to work, and you'll move your way up, and if people like you, they'll come pay to see you, and it all works. Until you put somebody on what is it called?
Last Comic Standing.
Last Comic Standing, and all of a sudden, they're selling out places.
Yeah.
You know, 500 people go see a show, they're totally disappointed, and they don't go see a comedy show again, ever.
You mean Dat Fan doesn't light it up? He was on Last Comic Standing.
You know what the saddest thing about American Idol is the backup singers who are very talented,
right. Yes.
And would easily win the competition if they were able to step forward and sing.
Having a backup, Blake Lewis.
But I mean, if you have to work for everything, and I'm a big believer in work. I think I'm like Kimmel here. I work as many hours as I possibly can every single day.
You sculpt your body to perfection.
Yes.
Really.
Yeah.
Thank you. But I meant to make money.
Oh, sorry.
So I try and work as much as I can, but I don't begrudge a guy that goes, well, the streets are paved with gold. Here we go. I got lucky. I mean, I've been a disc jockey for 16 years now, so I've interviewed these big stars. I go, so how'd you get your big break? They say, well, I came out from Kansas City, and I went out on my first interview, and I got the starring role in this.
Yeah. No, I'm not faulting the talent.
To kill them.
I'm not faulting the talent. I'm faulting the comedy clubs who then book the comics from these shows into their clubs because it's irresponsible and it's short-sighted for them.
It is, especially with stand-up comedy, because it takes a lot of seasoning. And even with singing, I mean, I don't think it's not comparable, really. But
no, it's not.
When you see some of these idols, and we have them on the show from time to time, and in fact, we have Sanjay on the show tonight, but he's promised not to sing. When you see these people up on stage, a lot of them are not ready to be on stage in front of people, and they don't have, you know, they're not confident, they're not ready to go out there. You know, there'll be 1,000 people, like the same kind of crowd that you get to see the Stooges, to see, you know, Catherine McPhee, and you know that when Catherine McPhee has 5 years of doing concerts in front of her belt, she's going to be a lot more confident than she is now.
By the way,
I don't want to watch that learning curve.
I just want to say that would be 2 of the 4 horsemen of the apocalypse. If it's the same people going to see the Stooges that are going to see I just don't see that one.
Well, it's the
somebody's
same number
hit in
of
the face
people.
With a snowball in hell.
But not necessarily, not the same group necessarily. So you don't watch American Idol at all. Do you watch any of these reality shows?
Well, I have to. Well, you know, I do Best Week Ever every week, so I'm forced to watch the clips when I go in.
Yeah.
They hold my head down. It's like Clockwork Orange, and I have to watch all these pop culture clips so I can make
Which
comments
on. Which
one
do you hate the most of those shows?
I like the ones like I love Danny's show. I like any show that's a real show about someone's life and things go horribly wrong or don't go horribly wrong. Like Run's House is great and it's kind of got heart. It's this sweet show. I just don't like the ones where I know the producers are arranging things in a way that make everything go bad.
You ever watch this Bad Girls Club?
No.
It is a show. I don't know what channel it's on because we TiVo it, but Sarah, my girlfriend, watches it, and this is really, it's interesting because what they've done is there are no celebrities, there's no real situation. They've just taken, like 8 of the worst women they could possibly find, and they put them in a house together, and then you just watch them misbehave, and you want to, I mean, really, you want to kill every single one of them. It's on oxygen. I've just gotten an important note.
And for sweeps, I guess by sweeps, they're all ovulating together. So it's
PMS times eight. They've never even mentioned them cycling up, but the show never ends. It's a new episode every week for like 63 weeks a year or something. It just goes on and on.
Are they
and
like
on.
Ex-cons?
Some of them seem like they are.
They must be because it's called Bad Girls.
No, they're worse than ex-cons because at least cons have achieved something in that they committed a crime and then were punished for it and have some life experience. These are just awful women who get drunk and throw things all over this house that they don't have to clean up.
Yeah, yeah. Well, no, now that you mention that, it reminds me of the show I hate, the reality show I hate the worst, which is Sons of Hollywood.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Because the Rod Stewart's son, who I actually was doing a radio interview in Columbus, and he called in and I tore him apart. He was screaming, wash, wash, at the Mexican maid while his friends laughed.
And
I think that might be the third horse.
I've been called a topper on the show before. People say you always have to top somebody's throat. I'm going to have to do that right now.
I thought it was a gay thing.
I knocked his ass out at rehab.
Did you really?
And we talked about it. We tried to draw it out of him.
You punched him in rehab?
Kicked him in the head. You kicked him in the head? And he's like 6 feet tall.
Wow. Because
there was another guy, I can't say who, but Sean doesn't mind the story, so I guess I can tell it. There's a junkie, a really famous junkie, but a heroin junkie, and I never even knew one of those guys. Uh-huh. And they're like in real pain. And this guy is the first time we've seen him in a week, and he's like carried it kind of out, and he's moving for the first time. And he's laying on the ground. And Sean he says something Sean doesn't like, and Sean just kicks him in the face.
What?
So I go up to Sean, I go, that's a pretty easy trick. And he goes, what? And I said, kicking a guy in the face when he's laying down. And then I just went, blam! And kicked him in the face while he's standing up.
And he's tall.
And down he went.
Really?
Yeah, I was bitching.
That makes me so happy.
This is what goes on in rehab? What about the Jamba Juice and stuff like that?
This is the reality show.
Dude, I tried to write. Nobody would touch it. Now they've got one. I wrote it. I was a little ahead of my time because there was another famous person. There was like, my roommate was a $20 million a picture player.
Wow.
It was my roommate.
Really?
He had to clean the bathroom. There was another really famous woman there, and her job was to clean the kitchen floor, but she had OCD. And I didn't know it. She would do it with a toothbrush. Uh-huh. So as a joke, I got a day pass, which you immediately have to take a drug test the second you get back from your day pass. But I bought her a bunch of toothbrushes as a joke. And I didn't notice she was scrubbing the floors till her hands were just covered in blood. Just this famous movie star lady.
Wow.
Yeah, rehab's, I mean, by definition, rehab is odd. Because, first of all, there's no drugs and alcohol, which makes me uncomfortable almost immediately.
Oh, right. It's unacceptable.
It's just not the right place for me to go. And then you see all these movie stars, and they don't have, like, normal people problems. They're not, like, sloppy or grumpy or they have, like, weird psycho problems.
Yeah.
They make me look okay.
Really?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, swear.
Really?
Yeah. I'm telling you.
I think the reality show should be called Sober House, but it's 10 of the worst alcoholics you can find, like actively drinking.
Yeah.
You put them in a house stocked with bars. There's alcohol, mini bars, full bars,
put them in
bartenders,
a giant bottle.
And the last person to drink wins. But here's the catch. Once you start drinking, you don't leave the house.
Right, no.
So the party starts raging and raging.
I like it a lot, and I think that's something for you to host, Bonaducci.
Yes.
And then Danny kicks them all in the head. All right, we have to take a break. Kerry Hatcher is going to be calling in a second. Greg Fitzsimmons, the Hollywood Improv this Friday and Saturday. Trust me on this one. He is a very funny guy. I wouldn't steal you wrong. Go to improv.com. Tickets go to GregFitzsimmons.com. For more info on Greg, his life, his love, his desires, his affection for fat women, you'll find it all there. Thank you so much. Greg, Fits of Laughter is his comedy CD.
Sure, you always get a kick out of that.
I really do.
I was on your show one time, and you were plugging it at the end. I don't think you'd read it yet, because you held it up, and you go, the CD, and he just starts laughing. Fits of Laughter.
I like anything where somebody works the name in. I really do. All right, so Fits of Laughter, again, the comedy. Greg Fitzsimmons, thanks, Greg. We'll be right back with Terry Hatcher.
Back to the Adam Carolla Show with Teresa Strasser, Danny Bonaducci, and special guest host Jimmy Kimmel.
God, Susan, you're such a good person, and I'm such a bitch.
Well, Edie, you're not that bad, and believe me, I'm not that good.
Oh, yes, you are. I am so grateful that I still have a true friend.
Oh, I was scared that you were sleeping with Mike, and so I...
Edie, I burned your house down.
Terry Hatcher is on the Adam Carolla Show. Now back to Jimmy Kimmel.
Don't worry, Terry. Adam is not here. We're back. Danny and Teresa with us. Terry Hatcher is on the telephone. Hello, Terry. Oh, well, maybe
hi,
she is.
Hi, everyone else.
Hi, Terry. What is hi, everyone else? You're not saying hi to me?
No, I said hi, Jimmy. That's what I said first.
I'm sorry.
I said hi, Jimmy. Jimmy. You called. You wanted me to be on the radio, and I said yes.
And you're very nice to do that. Thank you so much.
Thanks for asking.
We saw you last night on American Idol on the big telethon
there.
You looked great dancing to Stayin' Alive.
Oh, thanks.
You did look great. But did they tell you, like, that you would be actually lip-syncing to that thing? Or?
Yeah, they did. I mean, that was sort of the gag was, you know, to get a bunch of celebrities to lip-sync and dance to Staying Alive against a green screen. And actually, I can't tell you how hard it is to dance and try to read.
I'm actually against that. Actors going on television pretending to sing, I think they should be arrested.
Terry, at any point when they said to you, we're doing a whole special to help starving people and people with various horrible diseases in Africa, and we'd like you to jump around and lip-sync to the song Staying Alive. Did that strike you as odd?
Why? Does it strike you as odd?
Well, yes. It seemed a little on the nose.
Yes, Staying Alive, and it's, you know, it's the Bee Gees song. It just seems a little bit, I don't know, maybe.
People are dying.
I think when you try to get involved, and I'm involved in a lot of charity work, and I think when you try to get involved in stuff that you think will make a big difference, and certainly, you know, I applaud Idol for taking what has become, you know, a phenomenon in terms of their access to people and turning it into something that really can make a pretty spectacular difference in one night. So
yeah, that was a good thing.
I'm going to focus on that, and I'm not going to judge, you know, what songs they pick.
I'm thinking about it now, and like Night Fever would have been another bad choice.
That's bad with the malaria.
With malaria.
Hungry, you know? Like a Wolf, Duran Duran.
Well, I'm just thinking Bee Gees songs, you know, just to
staying
in that theme. Now, Terry, you were at the White House Correspondents' Dinner, right?
I was. Have you ever been to that?
No, I don't get invited to that sort of thing.
I'm surprised.
Yeah, I'm not. I really.
Well, Terry is very friendly with the president.
I'm surprised you're not at those things.
Well, Terry, you know from, I think initially you were probably a little bit standoffish about me. And then we met and we hit it off and we've become very good friends. And when I say very good friends, I don't mean that I've ever been invited to your home. But we certainly have socialized on occasion. But I don't think that they want me at that sort of thing, because I don't know if I would be able to resist doing something weird or stupid.
Right.
Huh. How was it, though? What went on? Did you meet Sanjaya?
I had already met Sanjaya. I think it's pretty funny that that's like the first question everyone asks.
You know what? That it is funny. Is it in any way, and I know that Jimmy didn't mean it this way, but is it in any way insulting? You're Terry Hatcher, one of the biggest stars on television.
Oh, no.
And people want to know if you met Sanjaya, not versa.
No, I don't think like that. But I will say that, you know, I'd never been before. I think it's an interesting event, especially to go to once. And and I feel like it's an amazing you know, grouping of journalists and politicians and people from Hollywood, and sort of you don't really have that experience very often. And I did get to meet, you know, some pretty incredible people from the news industry, you know, that we all admire. And
who did you meet there? And the president and those types of people as well?
I did actually get to shake the president's hand.
How does the president feel about getting asked about people asking Terry about Sanjaya first?
Sanjaya.
That I don't know. I didn't actually have a conversation with him. It sort of went, you know, hi, nice to meet you. And you know, I have a friendship with his dad and his mom from some other charity work that I've gotten involved with over the years. But I've never met the current president. And
President Bush Sr. actually, well, it appeared from a photograph that he gave you a little smack on the ass.
Yeah,
I know where you're going. You know, that is just the coolest thing ever.
So that didn't happen.
But I got a good laugh out of it.
It looked like it did.
It did.
I know.
You saw that picture, of
Especially
course.
Especially if you play it back and forth and back and forth, which I'm sure you did on your
then
show.
Then it looks like, you know, because it looks like you're being spanked by the former president when you go back and forth.
Ooh, ah, that's a hot idea.
Yeah, Barbara would be furious. She would really, she would tear you apart if she were, to, if that were to actually have happened.
She is a wonderful and tough lady.
Yeah, yeah. And, well, that's interesting. You mixed with all these people. You said you met some of the news people that you've that you know or have admired. Who
did
you meet?
All the people from CNN and Katie Couric was there, and I sat with the chief editors of USA Today, which, you know, that's an amazing job, editing an entire newspaper. And the ambassador of Egypt was at my table.
Wow.
I mean, you know, so it was just different people than you think of. Who we meet and go to parties around this city.
Did you take a date to this event?
Oh, now. I did. I took my daughter.
Oh, you took your daughter.
No, so I took my boyfriend, too. But you're not supposed to be asking me about that.
Oh, is that right? I didn't know that. Nobody tells me.
We didn't know.
I didn't know what the rules
were. I never understood that.
But since you brought it up.
Well, if Terry doesn't want to talk about
it. Since I brought it up.
I think I brought it up.
I brought it up.
I'm sorry I brought it up. I apologize. I know you got up early for this.
I was asked if I had a girlfriend, and I said yes, and I was married at the time.
I brought my boyfriend and my daughter and my boyfriend's daughter.
Was your daughter bored at the... I mean, because, like, Rich Little gets up there, and she must just wanted to climb under the table.
Actually, I will admit that we snuck out about two jokes in.
Oh, really?
But your daughter must have been excited about meeting Sanjaya, because she's of that age.
Yeah, well, she was more excited about meeting that cutie from High School Musical.
Oh yeah, right. The kids loved that.
Oh my gosh, she was out of her mind about that guy. I can't even remember his name, but he is cute.
How old's your daughter again?
And you know, she had been backstage at Idol a few weeks ago, so she'd already met Sanjaya. I don't want to make it like my daughter. So yeah.
Well, who does she like on American Idol? Who is she voting for?
Well, we both are fans of the show, and we love Jordan.
Did you get nervous last night when it looked like she was going?
That I thought was very well produced, because I will say, just as your, you know, average viewer, when Chris and Jordan were standing there, I was thinking, you've got to be kidding.
Me too.
Like, this cannot be, it cannot be Jordan, so it has to be Chris, but I was actually surprised by that also. And then when they go, Chris, sit down, I definitely bought the hook, line, and sinker like everybody else, like, for, you know, a millisecond, like,
I think they toyed with our emotions there. They really did.
Not to mention Jordan's. I felt bad for Jordan.
Yes, I thought I saw like a tiny bit of a well up. But, you know, backstage when we met her, they were all lovely. They were all lovely. No one had any attitude. They were all so sweet. I can't say anything but great things about all those kids. But Jordan was actually the one. She was on the floor signing every single person's autograph, T-shirt, you know, whatever, like so gracious. So she's really a beautiful girl, I think.
Well, Terry has written a book, and it was a big, big popular seller called Burnt Toast and Other Philosophies of Life. Teresa, have you read this book?
Yes, and I saw Terry Hatcher on Oprah. And Terry, I fell in love with you because you were so honest about, you know, you were very vulnerable talking about your experiences with Ryan Seacrest, who you must have just seen recently.
That is unbelievable that you were able to be like, recall, like, you're a true radio talk show host.
Thank you.
You could get that out of a year ago.
Dude, she's not complimenting you.
Teresa's not complimenting you.
Well done.
Teresa has
my book to that.
A lot of personal problems of her own. In fact, if your boyfriend has a brother or something, Teresa would love to meet him.
Especially if he's like 300 pounds and cries.
I wish my toast was just burnt. It's incinerated. But I still want to eat it.
Yeah.
See, because I read your book. I get the metaphor.
Yes. The paper book is coming. The paper book just came out of the book. And when it came out last year, it came out right in time for Mother's Day. And so I think that's why the book company did that. But it is, it was successful for a lot of women, and they really enjoyed it last year.
Is it only specifically for women? It sounds like some sort of relationship help book. Is that correct?
It's kind of it's kind of, it's not so much, it's your relationship with yourself, I think, you know, in terms of just how to not eat the burnt toast, how to treat yourself better, how to believe that you sort of deserve good things. For women, I think societally we kind of put ourselves last a lot, as mothers and wives and in that role. So that's what the book addresses. But I actually had, in my travels, I had a lot of men who read it and who got that same message out of it. I think it's sort of universal that somehow we struggle with our own guilt about, you know, treating ourselves well and crossing that line of, like, when we deserve to take care of ourselves and not feeling guilty about it. So I think it does have issues for men, too.
The yeah, absolutely, because I am the type that I would eat the burnt toast, but I think the message is force feed that on your children. Let them eat. They don't know any better.
That's
right.
What
are they going to do about it, right?
Well, soak it in, you know, jam or something. Yeah, no. The message is throw it away or don't cook it that way in the first place or whatever. But, yeah, you can go on with the metaphor.
No, thank you.
It sounds like it could be very, it could be really helpful.
And, Terry, will you still be socializing with Jimmy Kimmel even after this interview?
Of course.
Thank you, Terry. She's a lovely one. Really, very, very nice. I was delighted to meet her, and thank you for calling in so early. The book is called Burnt Toast and Other Philosophies of Life. A great gift for a mom or gay dad, even, if you want to go that. And Desperate Housewives, of course, still the juggernaut on Sunday nights at 9 on ABC. Yes. Thanks, Terry.
Oh, you're welcome.
Thank you.
Nice meeting you.
This weekend, so make sure you watch Desperate Housewives.
We will for sure.
Thanks
Thank you
for
very
having
much.
Me on.
Terry
Bye.
Hatcher, everybody. Oh, what a big show we got here. We got Billy West still coming up, one of the funniest guys there is, and Joe Pesci, also one of the funniest guys.
I love this guy. I love Pesci.
Yeah, you're in for a treat because he does not disappoint. Jimmy Kimmel filling in for Adam Carolla. We'll be right back with Billy West.
The Adam Carolla Show welcomes this guy.
I'm Popeye the Sailor Man.
And this guy.
Master of Time's Grace and everything else in the future. And, oh, yeah, winner of this year's Modesty Award.
And this guy.
Get me a sandwich from the dumpster.
And this guy.
Hello, sickies.
This guy, too.
Listen to me, you filthy hippies. This is Richard M. Nixon.
And this guy.
Oh, good news, everyone.
This guy right here.
866-901-ADAM. How did I do?
And these two.
Hey, Ren.
I'm going to call now. We don't have a telephone!
And they're all Billy West.
What a pleasure it is to see my lifetime of accomplishment summed up in a 3-minute film.
On the Adam Carolla Show.
Jimmy Kimmel filling in for my pal Adam Carolla, who's in New York. He's got his movie premiering called The Hammer at the Tribeca Film Festival. And then I guess hopefully people like it and then it gets sold, and they got a great little review in the Village Voice. It is the first review we've seen of the movie. And I am here to tell you that it really is good. It's excellent.
Surprisingly charming, as the voice
said. He is surprisingly charming. Speaking of surprisingly charming, the great Billy West is here with us in the studio.
Hey, you guys. Hey,
Billy.
Jimmy.
Hey, Billy. How are you?
Good. I haven't seen you since Las Vegas.
Yes, we spent a little time together in Las Vegas making crank telephone calls. That's what a lot of people go to Vegas and they go to strip clubs and they get drunk and stuff. We go and make crank telephone calls.
Well, there was a reason for that. I think it was the only legal place in the United States you could bother somebody and not tell them they were on the phone or
it's
something.
Funny. We did a lot of research to find that out and to, you know, because there are different laws in Nevada because they tape everyone in the casinos. And then it turned out we weren't really right that it really was just as illegal there as it is any place. And yet we continued doing it. I'm not sure why. Yeah, but
that's weird. I didn't know that.
Billy does.
I want to go to Hawaii. Yay!
Many, many, many voices. Billy, go through a list of just some of the, or maybe do a little bit of some of the guys that you do. Ren and Stimpy, of course.
Hey, Ren, will you button me? Will you shut up, you fool? Yes, I shall kill you.
And I did
Doug on Nickelodeon, and he was painfully shy, 11 and a half year old. Gee, I did Roger Klotz, his buddy. The guy is a loser, everybody. And vote no on question two.
Shoot, what else?
I recognize the bunch from Futurama.
You know what? Every one of these voices sounds exactly the same.
No,
that's
not
really bothers me. I don't think so.
I'm totally self-conscious.
I don't agree at all. And that's exactly the opposite of what I was just thinking.
Yeah. That's what,
is there's a lot of range because...
Well, there's always somebody that says, you know, every one of his voices sounds the same.
Well, don't listen to that person.
You know what it is? It's the face. You know what I mean? There could be a whole room full of people if you were on a comedy stage going out of their mind laughing, and you'll zero in on this face that's looking at you like a squeezed lemon, you know.
Oh, yes.
I hate you.
Yeah.
So that's
the difference between, I think that's the difference between comedians and unhappy people in general, is that they will focus on that one face. Whereas I think most people will focus on the 99 people laughing. You just see that one person. And usually that person has something else entirely going on. If you really, like, look at them, like, they actually are, or sometimes, like, I'll see that in the audience and I'll do the show and I'll zero in on one person. Like, what the hell is wrong with this person? And then you realize, like, that they don't speak English. Or they're deaf.
Or the guy who's screaming at you, you homo, you homo. And then you're in the bathroom, guy goes, you're really funny, man. Everybody wants to play the home game.
Yeah, exactly.
But I was talking to Greg Fitzsimmons, hanging around backstage there, and we were talking about comedy and comedians and everything, and, you know, talking about how there's a lot of new people that just show up. Like, they're just, I see a lot of Hollywood bedheads at auditions, the guys trying to crash the voiceover thing because they're not getting soaps and they're not getting sitcoms, and they bedhead, like, you know, there's that spray that makes you look like you wash your hair with urine and let it dry, and the guy still looks great.
Well, there's actually a product for hair called bedhead. It's expensive.
That's right. Yeah, well, I mean, but I'd spend my last $3 on bedhead. Yeah.
And so these guys try to get into the voiceover business?
Well, yeah, and the thing is, I wanted to maybe, I don't know, hold a class sometime in the future to teach young actors or whatever, or comics, how to get out of their own voice, because the celebs that are doing the voices out there are just, you know, anemic.
Yeah, well, I think they do it because...
Unless it's you.
It's got to bother you, I would think. Although I've only played dogs in movies. I was a dog in Garfield, and I was a dog in Road Trip.
I was a dog in Dr. Dolittle 3.
There you go. It's like, I don't know why people think of dogs when they think of us, but...
I do. That's the difference between us.
Who let the voices out? Who let the voices out?
Billy, thank you.
Wow. You must get annoyed, because I actually get annoyed when I see these celebrities, and, you know, these voiceover jobs are precious, and there is a group of voiceover artists who for many, many years did this stuff, and then all of a sudden...
Right, like in Charlotte's Web, it was Julia Roberts and all these movie stars.
Yeah, you can't make a movie without her, you know?
Yeah.
There's a law in Hollywood.
I guess it's because it raises the caliber of the project, and then they can do that shot on Entertainment Tonight where the person is in the studio with the headphones on, maybe one hand on the headphone, and they're acting like, you know, they're Shrek or something like that.
We caught up with Halle Berry. Short the mic, you know, pretending like she's sweating blood for this thing, and you know she just rolled down the hill from Mount Olympus and breezed in the door at the
Halle Berry, who has no distinguishing characteristics to her voice, but Robin Williams in Aladdin, I thought, was brilliant.
Well, he understands characters. So does Mike Myers and Eddie Murphy. They belong, like, coming up with characters. But
who are the
for
ones
David
that
Hyde
you...
Pierce to be like a snail or something? It's like, yes, I'm a snail. What of it?
Whoa! What a stretch!
That was amazing.
Although some might argue that David Hyde Pierce is doing a character all the time, and that he has become David Hyde Pierce. He can't really talk like that.
No,
can he?
So in real he's life, just like John Wayne.
No, I mean, in real life, you think he's like a fountain of testosterone, like a real manly man.
I suspect that David Hyde Pierce is actually an African-American, 300 pounds, maybe working construction.
Teresa, know my rule about if I can see your house from my house, you're my next-door neighbor?
Right.
He's my next-door neighbor.
Is he really?
He's five houses down, yeah.
Oh, really?
He walks his little poodles.
Well, tell him
poodles.
Billy
That's
West has right. it out for him, and he wants to pull his vocal cords out.
Tell him to lay off. You know, I mean, I'm going to say something controversial. We used to be able to save everybody's ass in a production because, you know, one guy or one woman could do upwards of 90 voices,
right,
you know, within a Swedish pubic hair difference if the director wanted it that way. And then they bring these people in, and it was like, I don't know how they're saving money. You know, as everybody's getting $20 million a pop and everything.
I'm sure they're not.
And this little devil on my shoulder said to me, you know why? Really? I don't know if I do. Sure you do, sucker. It's because the bigger you have a budget, the more you push it up into the stratosphere. See? It's easier for everybody to steal. Get it? No, I'd never heard that. No, I didn't. You know.
Yeah, so, you might be right with that.
Wow. Yeah, it's a bigger piece of pie. You understand what I'm saying? Mouse balls.
Have you been...
I like what? The devil. The devil is from Boston.
That's right, mouse balls.
Have you been watching...
Have you been drinking?
Oh, you know, I must say...
Yeah, you take your money.
Yeah.
And you get your hands on it.
Right.
Give me a buck or I'll touch you.
Have you been watching The Sopranos this season?
I haven't seen it yet.
You haven't?
No.
Really?
That surprises me.
Because you do maybe the only, but the best Tony Soprano impersonation.
That's a hard voice. I love that.
Do a little bit of that for us, if you would.
So tell me about the strange dreams you've been having, Mr. Soprano.
I don't know. I don't want to talk about it today. You know, I just don't want to talk about it.
Why not? It's about honesty.
All right, I had a dream I was doing meadow, okay?
That is unbelievable.
Oh.
Put on some more eye makeup, will you?
I would think that you would be
a random human being. Yeah.
How quickly do you pick something like that up?
It all depends. You know how somebody, their own voice kind of sounds like somebody, and so it's like Jay Moore doing Christopher Walken. I think there might be that placement naturally.
Right.
And there's a lot of people that can do like really like three or four good impressions.
I can do Jack Klugman.
Oh, let's hear it.
Yeah, let's hear a little Klugman.
Thanks. Hi, I'm Jack Klugman.
Can you do the other one?
Oscar,
what would happen if you smoked all those cigars?
Shut up, you big fat.
I can do Brendan McCarthy.
You're not fooling anybody.
Actually, we love when you do Cancer Danny.
Yes.
Oh, this is Danny with cancer.
I just got divorced.
And what else? How are
it
things?
It seems like you're doing through a machine, but it's not.
I still have cancer.
But your trachea's been removed, yes?
Yes.
She got half of it.
That is unbelievable.
Stephen Hawking got the other half.
He's doing this with no... It seems like he's speaking into a machine
or
something.
He's not doing anything.
The man is a machine.
All coming right out of your throat.
So are you dating Danny?
Officially dating, no.
But you should go over to Miyagi...
I'd like to ask Cancer Danny, what's
the...
Okay,
well, that's a single.
What's
you
on
can
your...
take three of those Spanish three of those Spanish girls and next year's kebab out of them.
Is that what's on your agenda for tonight?
Yes, stupid.
Do you do an Adam Carolla at all? Is this something like, would you, like James Gandolfini, would you work on that, or is it just come right to you?
You know what I think? If I was going to get out of the business and do impressions, you know what I'm saying? Adam Carolla. Adam, he's a nice Italian kid, though, right? He's a good Italian kid,
right? He is Italian, yeah.
The frig is this? You're going to say that crap for Uncle June?
Do you any other Sopranos?
No.
Oh, you got to see Uncle Junior this year. He's Uncle Junior. He's unbelievable this year.
Is he? He came to life?
Yeah, he really has. He has been unbelievable
this
year.
Tony, I'll be out in the back burning ants with my glasses.
Now, do you do a lot of people, like, I know, in the voiceover world, because I've done voiceovers in the sense of, a product.
Yes.
And I remember my first audition, I got in an elevator with a guy, and he goes, oh, great. And I looked at him, I said, what? And he goes, you know you're going to get it. It was my first audition. I was really nervous.
Wow.
And I said, why would you think that? They can't see who I am if you think it's a celebrity thing. And he goes, no, you've got that really damaged quality that everybody's looking for these days.
Yeah, but you're the guy audition. That can be doing, like, you know, battery commercials.
That's the
or
kind
something.
Of thing I do.
Motor oil.
Well, there are trends in voice work, right?
Yes.
And right now, what's in style? Is it still the damage thing?
It's anything. You know, I'll be damaged for a buck.
By the way, I don't know what's going on, but mine and Adam's agent, James Baby Doll Dixon, is on the telephone with a news flash of some kind.
Whoa.
And this is unheard of that James?
He's never called.
Yeah, the movie just won an Emmy.
Baby, you're on the air.
I'm on the air. What's up, Jimbo?
What's going on?
You're doing a fantastic job. It's hilarious.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I know you've been listening on hold for upwards of 30 seconds.
Yeah.
What's the big news flash?
It seems our lovely and talented ABC executive, Andrea Wong, is...
Wait a minute. We're on the air, right?
Yeah, of course, it's in Variety. There's no
right.
What happened?
What about her?
Yeah, she left ABC.
Or she's rumored. I don't know if you know.
Yeah, but why would I want to hear about this on the air, baby? Are you?
This is
starting to affect your brain.
Baby, I really was calling in to tell you that you're doing an unbelievably funny show.
Thank you. This is very interesting. Baby, you didn't listen to any of the show. What have we been doing today?
My office for the last hour. Greg Fitzsimmons. All right. Billy West.
I think great. Teresa has uncovered something.
And what? You felt it was going so well that you call in to derail it?
I was calling in to say that Adam was great on Howard Stern, by the way. It was really a
Adam was on the Howard Stern show today, yes. Good.
It was great, and I just could only imagine.
Did they talk about me?
Of course.
Yeah?
I think they talked about Danny.
Oh. Talked about Danny as well.
They did.
Howard likes Danny.
All right, baby, listen. We got to get back to Billy West here. He's doing imitations.
I'm sorry, baby.
Thank you, baby.
I just really wanted to call in and say I love you. How's that?
I love you, too.
Thank you for running this ship right
into
the
ground. Lock the door. Don't let him out. I love this guy.
Sorry to bring the show down.
All right. If that's your agent, you should kick 10% of
Now, who else has got some stories?
I couldn't imagine what he was calling about. I really couldn't.
I really thought it was going to be big. Andrea Wong is taking over Lifetime.
Andrea Wong is the executive in charge of the show at ABC, and she's leaving, which is, we actually like her a lot, which is sad for me. But
she's hired me as well, and I was very grateful.
She's
a lifetime job.
She never hired me. I auditioned for her 20 times.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Well, maybe a Lifetime. I think that will be a better fit for you anyway.
That knocks you.
Wait a second. They can make a movie, a Lifetime movie, and Gretchen would be played by Annie Potts.
Wow.
You would be played by...
Annie Potts. It would be a dual role where Annie really gets to spread her acting wings.
It would be Suzanne Plouchette.
Brenda McCarroll.
Bob.
You know what?
Suzanne Plouchette.
I will say this, that as a young radio disc jockey, I guess it wasn't a disc jockey, but a guy who did a lot of characters, you are the best I think there ever was as far as doing this stuff. And it was a treat to have you in here. I used to listen to you. I'd have Stern on as I drove into work at K-Rock, and I always loved when you were on doing your
He did
your
Mars
characters.
Shot. A lot of people don't
remember
that.
Oh, that was the best.
I did Mars Shot.
I think it's a bad time to be doing that racist humor, don't you?
Probably is.
But look at that Imus. I'm not a racist. I'm not a racist. Yeah, with that big I hate black people cowboy hat on.
Just a little more.
Oh, no, man. That polarizes people.
You have to be careful nowadays.
Billy West don't use those words. That ain't my part of town, not in real life.
Billy West entertains children almost exclusively now.
Yes.
Through the magic of television and cartoon characters. BillyWest.com is his website, and Billy's got a CD. Billy West and the Grief Counselors. You're playing guitar on this?
Yes, I should have brought copies for you.
You should have.
I'll send you one if you don't mind.
Billy West, one thing is he doesn't plan ahead. He really doesn't. But Billy West again.
You noticed that, did you?
BillyWest.com.
I'm a journeyman.
he has a part in Inconvenient Truth also, if you have not seen that show. Thank you so much for being here,
Billy.
That
was an Oscar-winning movie.
Oscar winner Billy West with us on the program. We'll be right back. Teresa, what do we have to look at here in the news?
Well, we're going to talk about Little Idol. Billy West has a great voice, but a couple of huge movie stars sang on Idol last night.
Yeah.
So much a man can tell you, so much he can say.
And who was this?
Oh, don't believe.
You'll find out.
God.
The mystery will be solved when we come back. It's the Adam Carolla Show.
Back to the Adam Carolla Show. Here's what not to watch on TV tonight. At 6 on BYU TV, don't watch America's Choir, a 2-hour profile of the Mormon Tabernacle Choir, hosted by Walter Cronkite. At 6:30 on Lifetime, be sure to miss Betrayed, the story of three women. A young woman has an affair with her mother's best friend's husband, starring Meredith Baxter Burney. And at 7 on Sleuth, definitely don't watch Miami Vice. In the second half of this two-part episode, Crockett begins to recover from his amnesia after believing he was the head of a crime family. That's what not to watch. Now back to the Adam Carolla Show with special guest host Jimmy Kimmel.
There's not one of those things I wouldn't watch, by the way.
Especially
that second part of the
Crockett.
Yeah.
Thinks he was a mob guy? Pretty cool.
Excellent. Daddy Bottaducci and Teresa Strasser in studio. We got it. What a show we've had so far. Super Dave Osborne began the program.
I liked him.
Deaf Frat Guy was here repeatedly. George Lopez called in. Greg Fitzsimmons was in studio. Billy West just left us. Terry Hatcher called. And we still have Joe Pesci to come this morning.
Go home and get your f***ing shine box.
Yeah, he'll be calling in this hour.
To me.
But in the meantime, we got some news.
Teresa Strasser, the number one Jewish news reporter on this station right now.
Rosie O'Donnell announced yesterday on The View that she is leaving the show. She will remain there until the end of her contract, which expires in June. The reports are she wanted a one-year, $10 million deal. Jeez. ABC only wanted a three-year deal, and as we now know, because your agent called in, there's been some changes at ABC.
Yeah, although that has nothing to do with Rosie O'Donnell or anything for that matter.
The fact that he read it in a magazine means it's news from weeks ago.
Well, the good news is really for Donald Trump, because Rosie's announcement has reignited his hatred, and he went on a little speaking tour.
Yes, he did.
A besmirching tour, which began at Access Hollywood.
Rosie is a loser. I told you many times this was going to happen. She self-destructs all the time. I find her to be a very unattractive person. I mean, both inside and out. Actually, inside, she's less attractive than she is outside, and that's tough.
Was she a great big fat person?
Yeah.
He's not kidding around.
No, he's not. He doesn't like her. He really, I think that the message there is that they have not made up and that he doesn't like her.
The message is, though, he's not scared to fight with a girl, because that's a battle you can't really win.
Yeah.
You know, you if you beat up a girl, yeah. So you beat up a girl, and if you lose, you got your ass kicked by a girl. It's not a winnable situation, and it seems funny to me that he's willing to try that, and he does okay at it.
Yeah.
Yes, and in happier news, American Idol is trying to give back. Last night they had a two-hour show, lots of big stars.
Didn't they kill two people?
Well, they didn't kill them, but unfortunately there were two fatalities, technically, on Idol.
Yeah, maybe Count Sanjaya.
Whatever they can do to raise money. To me, they did an extra hour of the show, which had to bring the Fox Network. How many more million dollars could you imagine?
Insane how that show just kills every show that goes up against it. Actually, George Lopez alluded to that when we spoke to him. His show goes up against Idol, and it hurts the show. It was 2 hours of huge stars, including... this movie star, who actually has a really nice voice.
It's from Batman Returns. The most sensitive of all the Batmans. Hello. Okay. There's so much a man can tell you, so much he can say. You remain my power, my pleasure, my
the joke there is that all the judges judged him, and then he said, well, Seal would like this, and then Seal was, of course, in the audience.
And he said he did like it. That was Jack Black. And I thought it was funny Ryan Seacrest said afterwards.
That was Jack Black?
Yeah. And by the way, talking about good chubby, he's a handsome man.
That's how I roll.
Mm-hmm. Black.
Jack Black.
Yeah. I disagree.
After Jack was on stage, he's like, all right, let's bring now the real talent on stage and bring these crappy assortment of teenagers they've lined up for us to vote on.
Yeah, Jack
like,
Black's
wait a minute.
A real talent. Yeah, he ain't a pretty boy.
Yeah, but the real talent is what Phil Stacey and Jack Black steps off stage.
Yes, well, at the beginning of the show, which that show is incredibly well produced, because Ryan Seacrest came out and said, this is going to be the most shocking elimination in the history of American Idol. And the whole show, I was thinking, they're going to take Melinda away from
I thought they
me.
Were going to kick Ryan Seacrest off the show.
That would not be the most shocking. I keep expecting that.
And so here is the shocking, if you didn't see it, spoiler alert, but Ryan Seacrest, you got it, Brian?
He explains Charity Night?
Yes, okay, here it is.
Here let me explain this. Over the weeks, we've asked you to vote for your favorites, and tonight, all your favorites are still in the competition. I mean, how can we let anybody go on a charity night? So, all your votes are still valid. This week's votes will be added to next week's votes, and we will send home the bottom two next week, all right?
No elimination last night.
I wonder how many weeks in a row they could do that before people get angry. Because in that audience, anytime Simon has anything negative to say about any of them, he gets booed. It's ridiculous
because they can't
like every single singer there. It's not possible that everyone is popular. But I wonder how many weeks in a row they could go with just not eliminating anybody before people say, enough with this, we're not watching.
I think not very long, because pretty soon what you have is essentially a sitcom. If you have the same cast every week and you tune in and it's Ryan and, you know, a guy that's his dog every couple of words and the angry Englishman and the same singers every week. You've got a situation comedy, not a contest anymore.
Now, Sanjaya Malakar has spoken to People magazine, and he's let them know that he's not gay. And in fact, he had a girlfriend going into Idol, but she was too clingy.
I got to tell the people that I'm not gay, too. I feel remiss that I've not made that announcement publicly.
Do you feel like if you have to make that statement, then you're protesting too much?
Maybe. I don't know. Sanjaya will be on my show tonight. So
will you ask him?
I will ask him.
You know,
about
I'm just going to come out right now. Sanjaya will be on my back tonight. I couldn't be more gay, and I just think you need to
know. Really? Yeah. I would have thought of
a screaming.
I wouldn't have thought of you as a bottom, but yeah. Yeah.
No, that's right. If you're looking for Sanjaya,
do you have anything planned for Sanjaya?
Yes, I'm going to kill him. I'm going to kill him. I'm going to strangle him to death right on the air on national television.
At 12:35?
No, at 12:05.
Okay, 12:05.
That's funny that he plans to kill Sanjaya, and I plan to play very safe. So that we just have opposite.
Actually, I'm
going to
have Danny kill Sanjaya. He's going to kick him in the head.
This is shaming.
I'm just going to talk to Sanjaya.
Right, get to
just,
know him.
We'll try to work out our differences.
What about his? The National Enquirer reporting that his mom was busted for pot.
That I think is kind of cool, actually. Yeah. I mean, you know, my mom would never do anything like that.
Now, also, Ben Stiller was on the show.
She wasn't busted just for smoking pot, by the way. Well, according to them, and yes. Not the most reliable of sources, but she had two houses full of pot.
That's a cool mom.
Yeah.
310 plants. And I've also read in Star Magazine or somewhere that Sanjaya's dad was a Hare Krishna and very high up, like
yes.
A Hare Krishna priest. Did you read
yes.
this?
Yes, no.
Very
I
high
like
up.
It.
What,
I like it a what lot.
What is the hierarchy of Krishnaism?
I don't
mean,
know.
They don't eat meat, so you don't, it's not like you get a bigger steak.
Listen, you asked me about Simchat Torah, I could tell you that, but I don't know how the Hare Krishna
this,
works.
He's not much of a singer, but this sounds like it could be the greatest family reality show ever. The Malakars.
Although the Carters
the
Malakars. Were hard to beat.
Meet the Malakars.
Yeah.
It's nice.
Nice.
Has a nice ring to it. So here's Ben Stiller. Now, what he did was he said that he was going to sing until they raised $200,000, and he would not stop.
$200 million, I think.
$200 million, yeah. Thank you. And he would not stop this ditty by the Little River Band.
Friday night, it was late. I was walking you home. We got down to the gate, and I was dreaming of a night. Would it turn out right? How to tell you, girl? I want to build my world around you. Tell you that it's true. I want to make you understand that I'm talking about a lifetime plan.
Ben Stiller. Now, of course, I wouldn't be doing my job if I didn't play you the song that Quincy Jones wrote, especially for the occasion of Idol Gives Back.
Oh, really?
It's called Time to Care.
The theme to The Little Mermaid?
Yeah. It sounds just like it.
Great movie.
A child's cry is heard.
The remaining
and
idols
the
are singing.
Sound of the oh. Drum, clear.
Did he, was he awake when he wrote this?
Time to care. Maybe time to compose. Something.
Let's listen to a little more of this. I want to where they're headed with this.
It's The Little Mermaid.
Stop the confusion.
Is Quincy Jones still black?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Despite this song.
Rise to the future, every man, woman, child.
Yeah, you can imagine cartoon, like sea animals dancing around.
I know, I'm waiting for Sebastian the Crab to come in with the little Jamaican accent.
This will cheer everyone in Africa up.
You know, it's a little creepy. Carrie Underwood had a video where she was kind of mouthing the words, and but she was with the orphans in Africa holding
yeah,
them.
That was weird, yeah. Yeah.
I don't know what they were going for.
I don't know what they're going for either. I don't know what was going on last night. People
out.
Are dying on the show. I mean, this is American Idol.
And no one got eliminated, but two people died.
Yeah. Who got voted off except the planet? Two people were voted off the planet on American Idol last night.
And Simon Cowell seemed genuinely moved when he was in Africa. Ryan Seacrest seemed affectless. He didn't seem...
Well, it was wrong for them to send him there.
Yes.
Ryan Seacrest shouldn't be in Africa. He's
don't you
not...
send Paula?
No, you don't send anyone to Africa. You don't send anyone to Africa.
Yeah.
You do because you're doing a karaoke show.
Yeah.
Karaoke in Africa is ridiculous.
Well, the good news is they seem to be raising a lot of money for those in need, both in Africa
that
and in
true.
The United States.
But
I
at what cost? At what cost, really?
Exactly.
At what cost, freedom?
Teresa Strasser, that's news.
Teresa Strasser with the real news. you, CNN.
Indeed. It's Jimmy Kimmel in for Adam Carolla. We've had a big, big, big show here this morning, and it only gets bigger. When we come back, the great Joe Pesci on the program. It's the Adam Carolla Show.
Back to the Adam Carolla Show.
If you don't have my money for me, I'll crack your head wide open in front of everybody in the bank. And just about the time that I'm coming out of jail, you'll be coming out of your coma. And guess what? I'll split your head open again. That's what I do.
Joe Pesci is on the Adam Carolla Show with Teresa Strasser, Danny Bonaducci, and special guest host Jimmy Kimmel.
What a treat. It's Jimmy in for Adam Carolla. Adam is Adam's in New York. He's got a movie coming out, and this is exciting. This is a guy that I was delighted to meet. I met him at the Bob Hope Golf Classic in Palm Springs about, I don't know, probably a few months ago. And I was delighted that he knew who I was and even spoke to me. Joe Pesci is on the telephone. Hello, wow. Joe.
What if I wasn't here, Jim, and I didn't went through all of that?
Then somebody would be in big trouble because your name's right up there on the video screen. And how are you? How's it going?
Good. How are you?
You golfing today?
Probably later, yes, a little bit.
How often do you play golf?
I go out every day and get some sunshine, hit balls even if I don't play, and then I go to the racetrack.
And who do you play with?
I play with one guy basically almost every day, a friend of mine, Jerry Page over at Lakeside.
Do you guys bet when you play?
Nah. If we play other people, sometimes we have little bets, but nothing serious.
I think you have the right idea because obviously one of the great actors, you won an Oscar, and now you do whatever you want to do. The Good Shepherd, which I think is just out now on DVD, that's the first movie you did in how long?
I think it's about 9 years.
Jeez, are you kidding? Wow.
And obviously obviously this is Joe's choice because he could do anything he wants, but that's something. You're not into acting now, or?
Of course I'm into it. I mean, I miss it. Uh-huh. You know, I haven't been offered anything that I really want to do. So if something really comes along, I have a couple of pet projects, naturally, I'd like to get done.
Uh-huh.
But I don't push on anything, you know. I want people to want to do it. So that kind of thing.
I'm a little curious. So you play golf, get a little sunshine, and then go to the racetrack every day. Are you in any way been infected by any of your gangster characters? It just sounds like, what do you do? Well, I hang out and I get a little sunshine and then I go off to the track.
So you figure that gangsters go to the track every day?
I figure that most people have jobs and don't get to go golfing every day and then go to the track. It just doesn't seem...
Most people have jobs when they're 64 or do they retire?
Dude, I didn't mean to offend you. I just
You're in
to
a lot of trouble, Bonaducci.
Just asking, Danny, because you obviously have your own thoughts about how life goes.
Well, I actually have never been to the racetrack. I don't know
Somebody's
how
about
it works.
To tell somebody to get their effing shine
box. I'm going to get your f***ing shine box.
That's right. Listen, cockroach.
No, actually, I own some racehorses.
Nice.
I go watch them work out or...
And what would you want Joe Pesci to be doing anyway? You know, I mean, I imagine I want Joe Pesci playing golf and smoking cigars and
drinking
going to
scotch.
The racetrack. Yeah, that and drinking scotch. That is exactly what I hope you are doing with your time.
And that's what I'm doing, and I listen to you guys and watch you guys. And, you know, you guys remind me a lot of me when I was... How old are you anyway, Jimmy?
Adam's going to be so jealous that...
I'm sorry, Jimmy.
Adam is going to be so jealous that you were on when he wasn't here, let me tell you. He really is. You know, he's got this movie at the Tribeca right now. Oh, you should see it, Joe. I promise you it's good. I think you would like it.
It's called The Hammer.
What's it called?
The Hammer. It's
a
boxing film. He plays a boxer.
Hammer. Oh, yeah.
When Adam and I met, he was a boxing trainer, and that's really what he did for a living, and wound up getting on the radio, and he's made this movie where he plays this boxer who had his chance to be in the Olympics, and he gave up, and he choked, and now he goes back and tries out all over again, and it really is good. He got a nice review today.
I wasn't listening. What did you say again?
Wait, let me bring it back to you, because Adam's movie's a romantic comedy, and the last time we saw you doing that, I think, is My Cousin Vinny.
I guess. I don't know.
Did you like working with Marissa Tomei?
Oh, yeah, it was great working with Marissa. She was just perfect, you know, in every way.
Joe, you told me some great stories when we were hanging out, and I don't know what's appropriate to bring up and what isn't appropriate to
probably
bring up.
Probably none of them.
Come on, Joe.
I'm going to the track every day. Don't bring that up.
What were they about? Can you allude to the general topic?
No, I don't want to say in general, but Joe's very, very funny, and he has a lot of thoughts. Joe, you're a musician, too. I don't think a lot of people are aware of that because you're such a well-known actor, but Joe actually started as a musician.
No, I started as an actor, actually.
Contradict me. You started as... No. Joe started as an actor is what I meant to say.
There you go. I was 5 years old. I did stage in New York, and then I did television when I was about 10 or 12. And then I went into music when I was about 9 years old, and I kept that on the side until I got a little proficient at it, and I started playing nightclubs, and then went back to my acting as I got older.
By musician, do you mean play an instrument or a singer?
I was playing guitar, basically, and singing, and that's what I did for a lot of years, you know, played with different bands all over the place.
Joe, tell me if this is right. Your dad was a coal miner, right?
No, my father. Where are you getting all this information?
I make things up.
Oh, good. Good. This way you get the truth out. Is that it?
Joe, what? Your dad was not a coal miner?
No, my father wasn't a coal miner. My father worked for General Motors as a forklift truck driver.
Can I ask you another stupid question while we're on a roll? Are you friends with any of the guys from The Sopranos, the actors?
I know, I worked with the kid Michael in... And Goodfellas.
Right.
He was Spider.
Yeah. Right. That's right.
You so shot him
Michael,
in the
and I know Junior Sirico from, Tony Sirico from a lot of years back in Hollywood when we were all struggling. And Frank Vincent, naturally. I worked with Frank in a band of his for a while. And I don't know if I know Stevie Van Zandt. Let's see, who else?
Do you watch the show?
No, I did it earlier on, but just to be nosy and see what it was about, I mean, if I see it on, I'll probably look at it, and, something
like that. Yeah, you gotta look at it, and when Joe Pesci watches a gangster show, he's just gotta go, yeah, okay, sure, kid. He's gotta call them all Junior.
Like Willie Mays watching a baseball game.
Right, exactly, a little league game. Do you have a favorite movie of yours or movie role of yours?
Of mine personally?
Yeah.
I did.
Yes.
Mean Danny. There's actually a... I tried not to do anything that I really didn't want to do. So I pretty much liked everything I did. When I did the Home Alones, I did it for the kids, and I created those characters that were like cartoon characters.
Right.
For Danny Stern and I talked with what's his name, Christopher Columbus, the director, about it. I thought they should be more like cartoon characters so the kids could enjoy it.
You know what? I didn't really think about that because I have a 12-year-old and I have a 6-year-old. And those movies really hold up because now that I think about it, I've watched that same movie with two different, I guess, generations, if you will,
right,
of toddlers and younger kids who still love that movie. So that really held up well.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. I sort of fashioned that character after Yosemite Sam.
Oh, that's really? Funny.
I could curse in cartoon talk.
In cartoon talk.
And listen to it sometimes. I come pretty close.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Why you fraggity snagging bagger? That's hard to do.
Match a fracture and things like that,
So, Joe, you're headed out to the racetrack today?
I pretty much try to just let the day go and not plan it.
Yeah.
Kind of a thing.
It's
different when you're working. You have a schedule. It's a lot easier because you can tell people, someone says, let's do this. Can you do this Thursday? I say, well, I'm working. I have this going and I have that, But when you're not working and your time is just free, you get bombarded with things. Can you play in this golf tournament? Can you help us with this?
Right.
Can you call up and talk to Jimmy Kimmel on the telephone?
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
I basically, to be honest with you, I refuse all interviews and things such as...
Well, why did you agree to talk to Jimmy Kimmel, of all things?
I really like Jimmy, I have to be honest with you. And I don't want to blow any more smoke up his ass than he needs, but he does remind me of myself when I was a lot younger. I would say whatever I wanted to say and get myself in trouble. And he's just free. He doesn't intentionally look to hurt anybody, but he's very funny and he jabs everybody. I love it, I just don't want him jabbing me. I told him that.
Don't worry, I know better than that. I'm already smarting from the coal miner thing, believe me.
Well, it'll help you anyway. My grandfather,
your research is really
yeah.
He's gonna be smarting.
Don't worry, we'll have a chat after during the commercial break. Yes. And when you go to the track, Joe, I'd love to go to the track with you someday because
I'd love to have you come. You know?
I would enjoy that greatly. And you do you bet a lot, or do you, is it just for fun?
I actually don't. You know, I mean, I like handicapping because I did it. You know, even when I was a kid, I always went to the racetrack because I worked in a lot of nightclubs down the Jersey Shore, and I always went to a track called Monmouth in New Jersey, which I've gone to for years. So I've always enjoyed handicapping, and I do bet a few dollars. You know, I don't bet a lot of money. When one of my horses run, I usually bet maybe 100 or something to win just for good luck, you know?
How many horses do you have?
I just bought another one yesterday. So
what do you name them? What are the names of some of your horses?
I name a lot of them after characters from my movies. I have one called Leo Getz.
Huh.
I have one called Nikki Santoro from Goodfellas. Well, I don't have her anymore. That one was claimed, actually.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and I've been saving other names, you know, for special horses or something.
What are you saving?
I don't want to tell you that. Somebody's liable to name their horse that, and then it's hard for me to name my horse that.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Is it like in boating? I know that it's superstitious, really bad to change the name of the boat. It's like really bad luck.
Really?
Yeah, when you buy a horse and it has a name, is there any superstitiousness in racehorsing about changing its name?
I don't know if you can change the horse's name. I think once the horse is named that, they keep it that way, even after they claim it or something, which is something I don't like. I mean, my first horse was a great mare that I really liked, and I named her after my family. I named her Pesci.
Right.
So, and I've been using her as a brood mare now. You know, I just use her to breed.
You know what? I have the same problem. I'm getting divorced, and my wife is keeping my name, and she'll be breeding for others now.
Oh, no.
And she'll still be Bonaducci. That kind of bugs me.
Oh, yeah. I know exactly
how you feel.
I don't think she'll be able to do that. Won't she take the father's name?
Well, it depends, I guess.
Yeah, it depends.
Unless you want to put them in show business and do well like you did.
Well, can I ask about Joe Pesci, the man?
You can.
Do you love golf and races? Do you have a lady friend?
I have a couple of different girlfriends that I see, you know, and that I like.
I love that. I really do. Joe Pesci is everything you hope and imagine that Joe Pesci would be. There he is right there. He's a tough guy. He'll say whatever. Oh, boy, will he say whatever he feels like saying.
I already had to beep him out.
And you know what? It seems like you have a lot of fun.
A stable of horses and women.
You have
nice. I don't know about a stable. Come on.
Yeah. Which is bigger, your stable of horses or or females?
you want the truth?
Yep.
Yes.
I actually think I have more girlfriends than I have horses.
There you go. And do you name them after movie roles?
I think they name me.
Uh-huh.
When you said what's bigger, his girlfriends or his horses, I thought you meant size-wise. And this goes, what is he, a chubby chaser?
No.
Some big women.
Not that I know of. I don't know.
What do you like, Joe, in a woman?
Well, I like a lot of different things. You know, I have all different types. I don't, it's not, I mean, naturally I want them all to look great. I'm like every other crazy guy. We always expect a girl to, we always want the girl we can't get that looks fantastic. I like tall girls. Sometimes I like short girls. Sometimes I like blonde. Sometimes I like brunettes. I think I like somebody that, I like really good people. People that are good. People that are intelligent. People that are artsy. And naturally, like I said, the whole sex thing has to be great. You know, there has to be a chemical attraction more than anything, I would think.
I'm with you right there, Pesci.
Do you smoke the cigar while you make love?
You know, I used to sometimes. In between, I swear, it was like a crazy thing, you know. But I don't smoke that many cigars anymore. I was inhaling too many cigars, so... I went back to cigarettes.
Your head was starting to spin.
I thought that was code for something.
No.
Hey, when you are having sex, do you smoke the cigar?
No, we don't speak in code. That's not the sort of thing that guys like Joe and I do.
What's that old joke, Jimmy? Do you smoke during sex? I don't know. I never looked.
Listen, he salted the earth, Jimmy. His dad was a coal miner.
That's right.
For God's sake.
Let's go with coal miner. It's a better story.
I don't know if my father would like that.
Hey, I know, probably not. Well, thanks so much for calling in, Joe. I know you got a lot of fun going on, and I hate to divert you from that in any way. And I'd love to go. We got to go to the race. We'll bring Corolla, too.
Okay.
If you don't mind. And maybe even Danny Bonaducci will come out there and apologize for being so brash.
No, Danny.
Teresa, you're not invited. Only guys.
Leave Danny alone. He's had enough problem.
Thank you, Joe.
Nice meeting you, Teresa.
Thank you. Nice to meet you, Joe.
Thanks, Joe. Take care. Joe Pesci, everybody. The great... Joe Pesci on the Adam Carolla Show. Without Adam, Adam free all morning long.
Wow.
We're going to come back one more. We're going to wrap things up when we come back.
That's
yes,
right.
And when we come back, we have a huge, huge surprise.
Yes.
Correctamundo.
Not really, but I thought
it's the biggest surprise people. In the history of the Adam Carolla Show.
That's right. Exactly. We're going to eliminate me from the show. We'll be right back.
So is it you.
August and April, all this month on the Adam Carolla Show.
What a month it has been so far. Jamie Foxx was on. Kobe Bryant was on. Ray Liotta, Morgan Freeman, John Kerry, William Shatner, David Arquette. Ray Liotta again on my list. Tom Green, Dave Duchovny, John Heater, Chuck Liddell. We had Joe Pesci on the program today. Terry Hatcher on.
Yeah.
George Lopez, Super Dave Osborne.
Loved him.
Billy West. Yeah, Super Dave is a character.
Super Dave was great.
Super Dave made an outing. Super Dave and our announcer, Dickie Barrett, went out. Well, Super lives in Palm Springs, but Dickie drove out to Palm Springs and went to see you and Jeff Ross and Jim Florentine at, where are you guys?
We're at the Morongo.
Morongo Casino.
Yeah,
out
they've
there.
Actually asked me back.
They have?
Yeah.
Well, they must have went
make
well
a thing
then.
Out of it.
They must have been excited to have, maybe Super Dave will go see you again.
Well, it's been funny. They called me Ross, who I don't think he knew that I did stand up. That
Jeff
I
Ross?
For 20 years. He didn't seem real comfortable with me. And mm-hmm. then when it was over, he comes up to me and goes, "Damn, you're a daredevil." And I went, "Well, that's a big compliment."
Well, who ended up headlining? I know there was a, you did. Okay. Jeff was a little concerned about that.
Yeah, he was just on the air and he goes, "You know, I'm a headliner. What are we doing?" And I went, "Not talking about this on the radio."
It's uncomfortable.
It's not like you to avoid confrontation,
I
though.
I know.
It's, well, I didn't
Speaking
stop
of which, I meant to ask you, yesterday, you and Chuck Liddell were kind of sparring for fun, but then he clocked you in your head. Are you feeling all right?
Yeah. No, I made him do that. He was making me, he wasn't making me mad. He was embarrassing me.
I understand that, by the way, because we had Mike Tyson was the co-host of my show for a week. And we thought it would be fun to go in the gym and shoot like a little, you know, like a piece. And I wanted to get in the ring with him, and I wanted him to hit me. And everybody was like, no, what are you crazy? I was like, well, listen, we're 16-ounce gloves here. I got a headgear on. You know, what's the worst is going to happen? And he refused to do it. I was like, come on. And I was actually like, well, you know, like punching at him, trying to get, you know, something at him. But he would not punch me. He just refused to punch me. Just was laughing and just kind of kept laughing it off. And I finally started to get frustrated because there was no peace unless
they hit you.
We got in the ring. At least there's something, you know.
When you get hit by Mike Tyson and you get hit hard enough on those gloves because they'll make a huge pop and your head will go to the side and you'll get banged around, but you're not hurt. And that's what I wanted from Liddell. And he was such a gentleman and had no idea what punishment I could or could not take. He made me look childish and I didn't like it. So I thought, well, I'll just, you know, I'll put up my hand and show him that I'm okay. And so I jab, and since he was completely unexpected, and I hit him right in the face. And then he still didn't do it, so I hit him in the face again, and that's when he tagged me 3 times to the head.
For me, it wasn't even so much that I felt, I mean, because I did, I felt like a chubby 12-year-old
boy
in the ring with Mike Tyson. But it was, I just wanted to get punched by Mike Tyson. I just want to have that experience of something to talk about. Just like I'd want to, you know, bat against Randy Johnson or, you know, just see what it's like. You know, even though, you know, it's not comparable, obviously, to when he's really fighting, he's really in the ring. But I wanted to see what it was like to get hit by Mike Tyson one time. But his manager, I went to his manager, like, hey, you talk to, you know, tell him, I'm all right. I'll be fine if he hits me. Tell him not to worry about it. And he's like, listen. Here's why he's not going to hit you. Because once he turns it on, he can't turn it off. And could you imagine how great that would have been?
If he
me
just
jerking around with a headband on. Like, come on, my man. And he literally just beats me to
near death. That makes sense. You know that story about Michael Jordan that he couldn't lose playing basketball with his kids because he just could not lose.
Yeah.
Even well, that's because they're only this tall.
Yeah,
when they were teenagers, he wouldn't let them win. He would not let his kids
win. Healthy. That's healthy.
That's nice for their self-esteem.
Mike, I don't think it's about winning or losing, though. It's about a violent fit of rage.
Right. And also getting something to eat simultaneously. Yeah. And James Lights Out Tony, the middleweight champion of the world, or light heavyweight champion of the world. We're doing a charity tournament, and I kept telling his manager, because he kept saying really mean stuff about me. Mm-hmm. I said, he knows I can't fight, right? That I can't protect myself from him. He's not going to hurt me too bad, is he? I mean, I don't mind getting hit around, but the middleweight champ of the world.
Yeah,
kill
that's
you.
A whole different thing.
Yeah. I mean, first of all, I couldn't lay a glove on him. They disappear. They're magicians. And she kept saying no, and so I'd say mean stuff about him, and then the second the cameras would go off, I'd apologize and say, you're fine, Mr. Tony. You know, I'm just trying to sell tickets. And he'd go, he'd make a grunting sound. And the last interview we did, Jackie Callen, his manager, said to me, she comes up to me, and I said, he's not a man, right? He's not going to hurt me, right? And she said, yeah, but I've been thinking about this. He's really sensitive about his appearance and his family. Stay away from that.
Oh,
and
no.
I took that as a cue of what to say.
So how'd that go?
The reporter asked me a question. And I said, well, all I really know is if you think he's ugly, you should see his kids. And we get to the charity event, and the bell rings, and I go out to shake gloves, and he drills me to the body. I drop to the ground, can't breathe. I think I'm dying. He picks me up, hangs me over the ropes, and goes, sorry, bro, and hangs me over the ropes. He goes, just take some breaths. So I'm hanging over the ropes, about holding me up, and he pulls my pants down and kicks me in the ass.
Really?
Yeah. He literally got your ass kicked.
That was the point, I think.
I like that.
What did you learn from that experience?
To shoot James Tony right in the face if I ever see him again.
Have you seen him since?
No, I have
he
not
He comes
seen
in
him
here yet. Every once in a while. Yeah, right. Adam knows him, yeah. Ooh. Do you harbor any hostility towards James Tony and the Tony family?
Not the Tony family, but yeah, I'm mad,
what
at,
do you think
I'm
of
mad
the
at the champ of the world. Yes. Punching me hard enough.
What do you
and
think about his appearance? Is he a good-looking man?
He is butt ugly. As a matter of fact, when my ass breaks out, it's still better looking than James Tony.
What about his kids?
Well,
you like them?
See, why are you making me do this?
Why are you trying to get Danny killed?
You know I'll do this.
Danny, but why when the manager came up and said, she's tipping you off, and you were genuinely concerned about him being angry, did you then go out of your way to make him more angry?
Didn't you? Have you ever had somebody think you were setting him up for a joke that was...
Oh,
like,
you thought...
I thought he was in on something or something.
Oh, I see.
I thought there was some kind of bit I was supposed to be
You understand that
in.
These people have an IQ of these boxers
well, that's what
of
I
like 43,
saying.
Right?
I kept saying... He understands that this is a joke, no, right? I'm the little white guy in the Partridge family.
He doesn't understand what a joke is. Who's a smart boxer?
De La Hoya.
Well, listen. You know,
well,
who,
that remains
Sugar
to be seen,
Ray was here.
The big guys
Sugar
are never
Ray
smart.
The big guys are never
Sugar
smart.
Sugar Ray is a smaller guy, but he seemed very intelligent.
No, the bigger he's right though. To be more specific,
I have to
the
say,
bigger guys
I've interviewed Evander Holyfield, and that was
oh,
a little
yes.
rough.
Oh yeah, it's ridiculous.
I didn't know what was happening.
It's like the dinosaurs; their brains are the size of a walnut.
He's not tracking.
He's not as nice as they make him seem like he's going to be. I said, I understand you own the biggest house in the state of Georgia. Is that true? It's 50,000 square feet. And he said, it was in Atlanta, I think it was. And he said, yeah, it's true. I go, do you ever walk into a room and just go, well, I didn't know that was here? And he said, everything in my house costs money. I know where it all is.
It's that defensive thing where you're not smart enough to know when people are mocking you and when they're just making friendly conversation.
But you know
my
why
microphone wasn't plugged in. I was on a top 40 station. I just wanted to meet him. It was a fake interview, and I had press credentials.
Hmm. You know who I love, and you know her because you're on Dancing with the Stars, is Layla Ali.
I've never met her.
You haven't met her?
No.
She's beautiful.
She's the one that brought me a Muhammad Ali signed boxing glove, and the thing that makes it great, it's in Bic instead of a big Sharpie. Mm-hmm. You could tell she was just running out of the house to do the interview on, oh, wait, Dad, would you sign this for Danny?
You should have her on your show when she wins Dancing with the Stars.
Well, I'm going to have her. Whether she wins or loses, she will be on the show.
Yes, that's right.
We actually, tonight on our program, Sanjaya will be joining us.
That's a nice booking.
Yes.
Arctic Monkeys on the show as well.
And,
I've seen some of the best bands.
Guys from Dangerous Game are on the show also. You watch
Deadly's
that?
Deadly's Catch.
Deadly's Catch, yeah.
Yeah, the crab
Adam loves that show. And I should say, on behalf of Danny Bonaducci and myself, thank you so much, Jimmy Kimmel, for stepping
in. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, that was awesome, man. Thanks.
I appreciate it. There's a lot of things we've learned today, but I don't want to go through them because I want to plug your program tomorrow. Tomorrow is a best of show, which normally, you know, you say rerun, no thanks, but it's all the best guests from the Outbook August.
Nice.
And it's quite a list. I went through a little with Jamie Foxx, Kobe Bryant, Ray Liotta, Morgan Freeman, William Shatner, David Arquette, Tom Green, Dave Duchovny, John Heder, Chuck Liddell. It's good times here on the Adam Carolla Show. Thanks to Adam, who is in New York. His movie's called The Hammer, and hopefully that gets picked up. Also, I want to quickly plug Project ALS, their sixth annual benefit here in L.A. They're having a big New York City block party at Paramount on Saturday, May 12th. Again, it's ALS is a Lou Gehrig's disease, and it's a great cause. 310-201-5033 for tickets. Project ALS, presented by Departures Magazine. I'll be there. Thanks for listening. On behalf of everyone here at the Adam Carolla Program, mahalo.
sexy gunplay.